Across the heartland of America, farmers are stumbling upon mysterious boxes of ticks scattered in their fields.
There are ticks everywhere. In 30 years, 20-some years of having horses, I've never had to deal with these many ticks.
While reports flood in of unnatural surges in tick populations, dropping like a biblical plague from the skies.
Weird stuff. Oh.
There it is right there, the tick box. I'm not going to touch it because there's ticks all over that thing. I know there is. Look at them crawling out of it. Millions of them. You can see the ticks.
And even boa constrictors in Florida that are invasive, they're now suddenly getting eaten and dying off because there's so many ticks all over them. I mean, this is just out of control.
As tick-borne illnesses explode nationwide, Lyme disease cases have skyrocketed, with ER visits for bites hitting multi-year highs this spring.
Look at my face and my neck. I can't eat red meat anymore. I can't have any animal byproducts in anything. And it's in everything. This is alpha-gal syndrome.
A 47-year-old New Jersey man ate a burger in 2024 and died 4 hours later. 2 weeks earlier, he got sick after eating a steak. It's called alpha-gal syndrome. It usually starts with a bite from a Lone Star tick that sensitizes a person's immune system to a sugar molecule found in the meat of mammals called alpha-gal. Reactions can include hives, nausea, and life-threatening anaphylaxis.
Yet just as the panic builds, pharmaceutical giants are fast-tracking a new Lyme disease vaccine, poised for rollout amid the chaos.
Stephen Rich is a professor of microbiology at UMass Amherst. He has studied ticks for decades. He is watching as Pfizer is now seeking approval on a Lyme disease vaccine.
What they found was that it was about 73% efficacious, meaning that it worked about 73% of the time.
Vaccine went to market in the late 90s, but failed.
For one reason or another, the company, arguably they said because of sales, took it off the market.
The demand now is high, but Rich and his researchers fear the public may see a vaccine as a tick cure-all.
If you got rid of Lyme disease, you won't get rid of ticks.
If approved, this vaccine could be a four-dose vaccination series, 3 injections in 1 year and a booster at year 2.
So, I mean, if this vaccine is approved, it would be a game changer in the fight against Lyme disease.
And it's nothing new. From Cold War tick experiments to Plum Island Labs, bioweapons research has turned insects into silent vectors for years.
Did we actually use ticks as bioweapons?
Yes, it's actually in CIA documents that have been declassified. For instance, infected ticks were deployed from C-130s flying low over sugarcane fields in Cuba back in the day under President Kennedy. There is abundant evidence of the testing, field testing, of infected ticks and other insects in a variety of settings in the United States and elsewhere. Clearly USAMRIID was involved, and in particular the Plum Island facility that had been a biowarfare investigative facility up in Long Island region, and then was transferred over to USDA, was involved in a lot of this research.
Possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the Lone Star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering.
We've seen this playbook before, and only too recently. Create or amplify the crisis, suppress natural treatments and honest debate, then roll out the profitable fix. Declassified documents on military insect releases and ongoing congressional probes into Lyme's bioweapon origins only deepen the suspicion. The government parasites are literally sucking the blood from its own people. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Yes, Alex. Yes. Ready you are.
Your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to War Room Live here on the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got a very big show for you today. We'll be spending a lot of it monitoring the situation in Kentucky. So we'll be giving you sort of the latest as it is election day there, and we should start to see returns coming in. We'll be visiting a couple people there in Kentucky on the ground. We'll connect with Tiffany Cianci in this first hour, find out how things are going, what the status of the party is at this point, and then we'll be joined at 4:30 by Kristan T. Harris. He's also there on the ground in Kentucky, and We've got a third guest as well, and I'm blanking on who it is. I'm so excited about what's happening with Thomas Massey. And, of course, it's sort of up in the air still. I mean, we're getting different. Michael Cargill, of course. Michael Cargill we talked to originally when he had to storm onto a city bus to stop somebody stealing guns from his store. And now it turns out some of the guns stolen from his store may have been used in the serial random shooting that occurred in Austin, and we talked about quite a bit yesterday, so very excited to talk to him. This may be the first time that we connect on Zoom since we're in our new satellite studio. So very jam-packed show we have for you today, and we've got a lot of videos to show you as well. Obviously, the ticks are still a major discussion. The data centers continue to be a major topic of conversation, and I think we'll start with, well, let's start with Massey, and of course it goes into the AI data center since he actually is one of the primary movers stopping the data centers from being able to destroy everything in their vicinity. I'm not even kidding. The immunity bill Thomas Massey helped to stop going forward is just another in his very long line of legislative victories. Today's the day. Will Massey get primaried? That's from Zero Hedge. The closely watched race is the state's fourth congressional, in the fourth congressional district, where incumbent Representative Massey faces retired Navy SEAL Ed Galrain. President Donald Trump endorsed Galrain after criticizing Massey over several votes he took in Congress. Trump has success backing primary challengers and knocking off incumbents in several primary elections, including in Indiana and Louisiana. This one's a little bit different. They are pulling out all the stops and spending all of the money trying to unseat Thomas Massey. And I have the feeling that there is a divide between people in the know and the average normie out there in how they're going to perceive what's going on with Thomas Massey. I think everybody who's a congressman now, who is, you know, involved at the higher levels, everybody recognizes that obviously, and, you know, the articles say this, this is a referendum on Israel. This is basically Israel trying to unseat an unfriendly conservative in the Republican Party. And obviously, the reason they're spending so much money on this is because they want to send a message to the other congressmen of it doesn't matter how secure your seat is. It doesn't matter how good of a congressman you are. We have the ability to unseat you when your only crime, the only demerit on your record is opposition to Israel. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, full-blown hatred. You just have to not be willing to give them everything they want immediately. And that's enough. They will pull out all the stops. They will go to the ends of the earth to destroy you, to send a message to everybody else. I think that's what the people in power and the people who observe this stuff thoughtfully, or that's the conclusion they're coming to. Meanwhile, the story being told to the average normie out there is that this is all about Donald Trump. And this is about opposition to Donald Trump, and this is a referendum on Donald Trump's control of the Republican Party. That's the story being told by people like Ben Shapiro, and I'll show you that clip in just a second. I know we have clip 20. I think there should be that same video, but shorter, because I don't want to have to show the whole 3-minute interview. But again, it's not really even a question of what is behind this, except that he, you know, Donald Trump has made himself the center of the opposition to Thomas Massie because Thomas Massie has gone against Donald Trump in certain instances. However, the context of those instances is important. He goes against Donald Trump when Donald Trump goes against America. When Donald Trump is serving Israeli interests over American interests, Thomas Massie opposes him. And that's what this is really all about. Again, it's pathetic to see Donald Trump using his platform, using his gravitas in this way. Not exactly surprising after, you know, how things have been going for the last little while. But let's go and go to clip number 5 here, because again, it's not a question as to what is behind the Thomas Massie ousting, right? Trump's revenge tour comes from Massie. They're trying to blame this on Donald Trump. But again, Donald Trump is doing this in service to and because of Thomas Massie's failure to uphold Israeli interest. Massie's primary is the most expensive in history. Pro-Israel groups have played a huge part. That's from Politico. Ad spending in the race to unseat the rebellious Republican has smashed House records. The pro-Israel lobby that's pumped millions into Democrat primaries this year is facing the next test of its political power on the right in ruby red Kentucky. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, and other pro-Israel interest group have uncorked over $9 million in a bid to unseat Republican Representative Thomas Massie on Tuesday in a competitive primary that has shattered spending records. Prominent pro-Israel GOP donors have funneled millions into a super PAC stood up by Donald Trump's political operation that has spent nearly $7 million on the race. Overall ad spending is top $32 million, making it the most expensive House primary on record per tracking firm Ad Impact. Pro-Israel groups got the opening they needed to spend big against the isolationist lawmaker when Trump decided to front a primary challenger to Massie, presenting the first serious threat to his reelection in over a decade. The Republican Jewish Committee Coalition Victory Fund and United Democracy Project, APAC's super PAC, have attacked the incumbent for his votes against symbolic measures supporting Israel. So it's not exactly confusing about, you know, what is behind the antipathy towards Thomas Massie, but Ben Shapiro is here to lie and distract from the, you know, actual underlying cause. Let's go now to clip number 5.
Not a surprise that Massey's friends are all of the most conspiratorial anti-Israel people on planet Earth. That would include Cenk Uygur, right, who put out a tweet: if Representative Thomas Massie loses tomorrow, the Republicans will become Israel's party. It's about Israel. By the way, it's not about Israel. I'll explain in a moment. Republicans will give them as much of our money as possible and go to war for them whenever they ask. Israel 100% control the GOP because every member will be scared to death of opposing them. Now, again, the reason why Massie is in hot water here has nothing to do with his stance with regard to Israel. It has everything to do with his stance with regard to conspiratorial nonsense about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he has voted against a wide variety of President Trump's priorities in Congress. He's sort of a Ron Paul figure who votes against large priorities of the Republican Party, which has ticked off President Trump pretty extraordinarily. Massie is trying this dumb routine. Massie himself is out there saying that Israel is trying to buy his seat in Congress. Again, my dude, like this tactic is one of the dumbest tactics. I just have to say it's a tactic made for stupid people. And the reality is that people who are pro-Israel do not like Thomas Massie because Thomas Massie has engaged in every conspiracy theory it is possible to engage in and has made common cause with the most anti-Israel people. That's true. But the reason that Thomas Massie is actually in trouble is because the Trump administration has decided to oppose him on the basis of completely other issues. And so the usual game that is now played right now on the right, in the very podcastistan right, the game that is played is there will be a critique that has nothing to do with Israel. And the first thing you do is you claim that it's about Israel in an attempt to gin up the crazier part of the Republican base.
So, again, I don't even feel the need to, like, lower myself to his level to even explain why this is retarded. But, this is the story being told to the normies out there. Ben Shapiro is the Pied Piper of the normies. He is their shepherd guiding them to the pre-established conclusions, totally independent of reality. It's almost funny. It's almost funny that he's like, Thomas Massey's, you know, the opposition Thomas Massey has nothing to do with Israel. It's about his Epstein conspiracies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a butt in.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, I'm watching that clip in there of all rotten headlines.
It's crazy.
Netanyahu 8 months ago declares an eight-front war, spends $500 million for our elections. 2 weeks ago, they signed another $760 million. That's her rich Jerusalem Post. To manipulate our elections, say they're doing it. They spent $20 million on Massey. The whole media comes out, and they say it has nothing to do with Israel, the deciding factor, and they make it all about Trump's piss stain by other stuff. Yeah, that's part of it, but it's all about Israel controlling our domestic elections. The Secretary of Defense campaigns against him all over the war, which Israel started, and then he's got the nerve with his giant eyebrows. It's like, my eyebrows are gigantic. Sit and listen to me, like, hypnotizing you. I mean, God almighty. I mean, I've never. I mean,
it's insane.
But all he does is. This is for stupid people.
Yeah.
Like, you're dumb. You're dumb if you. You're dumb. Israel said they targeted Massey. They said they'll target anybody that doesn't do what they say. And then you sit there and gaslight us. God. The good news is he has no audience, so why? It's just insane.
we shouldn't even be given. But that's what I mean. It's like I don't even want to lower myself to trying to explain. Like, he's lying, children. He's just not telling the truth, and everybody should know this.
Netanyahu declared war on members of.
I agree. Well, what can you say? It's not about Israel. Okay, it's about the Iran war, you know, but that's Trump's thing. Oh, it's about Jeffrey Epstein, but that's another, you know, Trump thing. And it's about foreign aid, but, you know, that only a little bit goes to Israel. So it's about foreign aid and the Iran war and the Epstein files, but it's not about Israel. And yes, Israel came out and said this was why, but, you know, we didn't go to war with Iran because of Israel. We're not covering up Jeffrey Epstein because of Israel. We're not releasing the JFK files, but it's not because of Israel. I mean, are you falling for this gaslighting? Like, this is what it's like. Everything in this country right now is just brazen deception, brazen hypocrisy from Donald Trump. When was this? Minutes ago, folks, minutes ago. Horrible Congressman Thomas Massey put out an old endorsement. I was halfway thinking about doing a Trump impression while I do this, or maybe I should do a Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro impression while I do this, since it's their voice coming out of, you know, his Twitter feed. For many years ago of him by me, long before I found out he was the worst congressman in the history of our country, I endorsed Ed Calrain, a true American patriot, which Massey knows full well. So the statement he put out is fraudulent, just like he is fraudulent. Withdraw your face statement, Massey, right now. Donald J. Trump. Yeah, Trump's got Massey derangement syndrome. He's obsessed. He's obsessed. I don't know if I've ever heard Thomas Massey really talk about Donald Trump other than to respond to Trump's outrages, but Trump is clearly obsessed with this. Every day he's putting out multiple statements. Clearly, he's got people on his back. Like, you understand how this works, right? He's got people like Laura Loomer and others pestering him. You know, Thomas Massey, you really got to put out another statement. Your last statement was so good. You're so powerful and amazing, Trump, but we really need another one. You know, Ed Galbraith, we really need this, Trump. This is all about you, and this is for you, and if this goes down, it's going to look really bad for you. We need another statement, Trump. We need another video. We need another Truth Social. I've composed this one. Can you hit send on it? I mean, they are using him as a vessel to destroy their enemy, and he's going along with it willingly. God only knows why. And I think it's open for speculation, but it's almost hilarious that in Ben Shapiro's defense of, you know, Trump and defense of the attack against Thomas Massey, the only thing he can point to is the Epstein files, which of course are all centered around Israel. So that doesn't even make sense on the face of it. But clearly that's, you know, the message being pushed. So like I said, Ben Shapiro knows, Donald Trump knows, Thomas Massey knows, everybody knows that this is about Israel, but they're telling their audience that this is about a referendum on Trump to trick them and to hide the ball and, you know, deflect from the reality of who's doing this to probably one of the greatest congressmen in the history of our country. If we're going to go with superlatives here, I think worst congressman in the history of our country, I think we have about two dozen candidates for that at the moment serving that are all significantly worse than Thomas Massey absolutely ever was. But again, to act like this is about anything other than Israel is suspect. And, you know, it is almost like I was explaining yesterday, where you have the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, coming down and campaigning for Thomas Massey. On the face of it, you know, for a normie out there, it's like, wow, Thomas, you know, he's got Thomas Massey's opponent has, you know, the support of this, you know, really powerful person. That's a good thing, right? When in reality, you should be able to see through that and go, this is an inappropriate use of the government. The government should not be dipping their toes in and altering the outcome of a congressional election. Well, why does the Pentagon have such interest in this election? And really, as soon as the Pentagon gets involved in election, thinking people should realize you should be against whatever the Pentagon is trying to tell you to be for. But do people have the ability to see that? So when Ben Shapiro and all these people come out saying, oh, no, this isn't about Israel at all, this is about Donald Trump, like, thoughtful people should be able to just see through that immediately. Instinctually, it's prima facie ridiculous and actually more evidence of just how dishonest and manipulative they all are. Really, this isn't bolstering the argument against Thomas Massey. It's bolstering the evidence that you people are just pathologically dishonest. It's kind of weird. Let's go to clip 14 here. This is, yeah, this was posted. Israel-affiliated CBS News, right? The state media of Israel, CBS News, interviewed Thomas Massey and didn't have a lot to rebut his statements with. Let's watch.
Are you anti-Semitic?
They're trying to tell you that it's anti-Semitic for me to expose the fact that the Republican Jewish Coalition has spent millions of dollars in this race, that a dual citizen, Miriam Adelson, who even Trump says is more loyal to Israel than the United States, has spent millions of dollars in this race. Those are mere facts. And it's
okay,
really...
It's a yes or no. Are you anti-Semitic or
not? Oh, hell no. Okay. I'm hell no anti-Semitic. But here's the danger that AIPAC runs. They've been too cute by a half. They've tried to get Mike Johnson, and he's willingly done this, conflate in resolutions on the House floor that anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism. Or even worse yet, that if you don't support Benjamin Netanyahu's war in Gaza, then you're anti-Semitic. That's absolutely false, and it does Jewish Americans a big disfavor to equate the two.
I gotta say, you know, obviously he's right about the way they're trying to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. But maybe it's like we need to not be scared of that label anymore. I mean, who cares? Obviously, they're starting the fight. Obviously, it's AIPAC doing this. It's Israel doing this. It's Miriam Adelson doing this. It's Ben Shapiro doing this. It's people from every, you know, end of the spectrum politically all coming together to oppose Thomas Massey because he doesn't endlessly and without reservation support Israel. And that's, again, the actual complaint here. He's not up there. You know, putting forward bills to destroy Israel or, you know, saying everybody in Israel needs to die. He's just saying, look, if we're going to be giving them everything, maybe we should, you know, have some controls on that. Maybe we should not support this war. So it's like, okay, is it anti-Semitic to say that? They say it is. Okay, fine. I mean, I know he's running for office and you can't say that type of stuff, these days, but I mean, is that not where this conversation is going? Is that not where, I mean, and we do need to play the longer clip, I realize, because yeah, I wanted to play the shorter clip just to save time. But you need to see the run-up. You need to see the run-up to why Thomas Massey is asked if he's anti-Semitic. Which, again, it's just a hilarious question anyway to ask. I'd ask him to define it first. What does that mean? What do you mean anti-Semitic? What did I say that is anti-Semitic? Get them to define it. Get them to explain what they mean. Do they mean that it's anti-Semitic to oppose the destruction and taking over of your political system by a foreign power? Is that anti-Semitic? If it is, okay, then I guess I am. If it's something else, then let's define what it actually means, because it seems like right now it means absolutely nothing other than the wider, you know, Jewish power structure hates you. It's not so much that you hate Jews, it's as much like the Jewish power structure hates you and you are therefore anti-Semitic, and if you don't submit fully and apologize, you'll be destroyed, which is not a good thing to say to Americans, since we tend to buck at that type of bullying, as you'll notice. Let's go to clip number 20 now.
There have been more than $32 million spent on a primary in this congressional district, which is now the most expensive House primary ever in the United States. Is it worth it?
You'd have to ask Miriam Adelson on May 20th if it was worth it. Because, you know, they tried to buy my vote for 14 years and it was never for sale. They've tried, now they're trying to buy a seat here in Kentucky. I think they underestimated the reserve price of my constituents. They waded into this. They thought they could buy this seat with a couple million. That didn't work. And now they're throwing good money after bad. The thing that surprised me is how much money we've been able to raise. I don't have three billionaires who want to just throw their money away. I've got the grassroots, tens of thousands of donations. Average donation for me is about $80. And we've been able to go toe-to-toe. A lot of that $32 million is coming from our side, but it's coming from regular working Americans.
When you say they, that they spent money to try to buy the seat, who are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about the Israeli lobby, AIPAC, Republican Jewish Coalition, Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and John Paulson. These are the groups that have given 95% of the money to my opponent because they're mad at me over foreign policy. Now, what's interesting is my policy has always been no country is special, and no country deserves my constituents' taxpayer dollars. So I have never voted for foreign aid to Egypt, to Syria, to Israel, or to Ukraine. But the ones in Israel, since they're the biggest recipients of it, that makes them a little bit mad.
What's so wrong about helping defend Israel from Iranian threats?
We've got debt. I mean, at least with NATO, there's the promise of a reciprocal arrangement. With Israel, it's completely one way. And they've drug us into wars. They've convinced us that Iran is just days away from a nuclear weapon, and they're perpetually that way. This is not our war. Israel, for instance, funds abortions publicly. I think a lot of Republicans would be aghast to know that we're giving $3.8 billion a year, every year, to a country that funds public abortions.
You know that kind of criticism doesn't sit well with fellow Republicans, at least in the House Republican Conference, that there are others who've accused you of all sorts of things regarding Israel, regarding the state of Israel, regarding the Israeli government, regarding Jewish Americans. Are you anti-Semitic?
They're trying to tell you that it's anti-Semitic for me to expose the fact that the Republican Jewish Coalition has spent millions of dollars in this race. That a dual citizen, Miriam Adelson, who even Trump says is more loyal to Israel than the United States, has spent millions of dollars
in
this
race. We can take it down because we heard his response. So again, basically, this is how we're, I put out a tweet like last year, maybe in 2024. Sort of hinting at the same outrage that Thomas Massey is feeling, saying, why do I keep getting called anti-Semitic? Because Jewish people do evil things, right? I don't talk about them because they're Jewish. I talk about them because they're doing evil things. But then people defend them on the basis of them being Jewish. So it's like saying, like, why am I being called anti-Semitic? Because a bunch of Jewish people are trying to kick Thomas Massey out of Congress. We're not supposed to say the reason they're doing it. They come out and say, we're doing this because Thomas Massey isn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And we go, they're doing this because Thomas Massey isn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And they go, you hate Jews. Hello? Is anybody seeing how ridiculous, nonsensical, frankly, stupid all of this is? So we got to like pick a lane. Either like these people are doing it because they're Jewish and you know, predicating it on Jewish values and you know, Jewish prerogatives. And we're allowed to talk about that, or they have to stop doing that, and then we'll stop talking about it. Like, I guess that's the solution here.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom, at least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they live or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make $10 right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Day, Kentucky District 4. Today is the day that we get out to the polls and we deliver for the state of Kentucky and the United States as a whole. For those of you that live in Kentucky District 4, I have a contest for you. If you are headed into the polls and on your way out, make a video. Hashtag it with I voted KY4. Don't care how you voted. I voted KY4. We're going to have a bunch of giveaways with swag from all of the creators. We're going to have autograph swag from Thomas Massey. We're also going to have some VIP passes for the Victory Night Party tomorrow and a whole bunch of other stuff. Plus, we're going to stitch all of your videos. So make a video after you voted telling everybody else to get out and vote, saying you voted. You don't have to say how you voted. And hashtag I voted KY4. And we are going to see you and have so much fun tomorrow night. We're going to be out at the polls. For those of you that don't live in Kentucky, that want to make a difference, and you wish you could vote in Kentucky, you guys are going to download the Sway app. That's S-W-A-Y. In it, you're going to sync up your contacts from your phone, and it's going to find any person in your phone that is eligible to vote in Kentucky District 4. And if you don't have any friends in Kentucky District 4, but you have other friends in Kentucky that might be close by, it's going to help you find friends in Kentucky that might know people in District 4. Now, for those of you voting, take your grandma, take your auntie, take your cousins, take your roommates, take your coworkers, take as many people as you can. All of you guys make videos. Let's get more people to the polls. Let's bring our friends. Let's make it a party. And then tomorrow night, we're going to party for real at the Marriott near CVG. I'm going to be there. All of the creators are going to be there. We cannot wait to see you. Happy voting day. Hashtag I voted K-Wife.
Okay, so that is Tiffany Cianci. You can follow her on X at The Vino Mom. And she, of course, is there in Kentucky and has been all week, really. She was here on with us on Thursday and then again on Friday getting that exclusive content in the interview with Thomas Massey from his big campaign event. She's there in Kentucky right now, and she joins us via Zoom. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Good afternoon, Harrison. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sort of on pins and needles, though. I mean, how are things going there in Kentucky? It's voting day today. What do people need to know?
We are pins and needles with you, obviously. We won't know for a few hours, right? We do know that the early voting numbers were very, very positive. So they look at the last three election cycles and they do the aggregate of the turnout for early voting. And that's how we can kind of gauge a sense of how many people are early voting. And generally, younger voters early vote, older voters vote on the day of because they don't trust early voting.
Right.
That's just very traditionally tactical. And what we've seen is that every single county in District 4 saw at least a 19% increase over expected aggregate. We saw in some of the most important counties of young voters up to 55% increases in early voting over expected aggregate.
Whoa.
So that paints a picture that looks like it could be very positive. It really does. We didn't want to get our hopes up. We obviously have been trying very hard to keep our eyes on getting people to the polls. And today we were out there and we were doing on the ground polling. We sent some of our favorite creators out to the polls and we got some polling numbers. Out of one poll in Boone County, we had 65 votes for Massey, 46 for, Gelrain. And then we had about 40 that would not disclose. A lot of people are trying to give more credibility to the non-disclosures being for Gelrain, but I'm not sure that's it. If I were in true red MAGA, must do what Trump says country, I would be more afraid to say I'm voting for Massey.
Right.
And so I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I will say there's been record turnouts and there have been a ton of people at the polls and we're just waiting. We're just waiting.
I got to wonder, do you talk to people who vote Ed Gelrain and why are they saying they're voting for him? I'm still confused that why anybody would vote for him. I'm sort of shocked that he has whatever support he has now. What reason are they giving?
One of our favorite videos that got made today was they said Massey's just too old. And we said, you know, Ed Gelrain's 68 and Massey's 55, right? And they said, well, are you sure? And they had just voted. I swear to you, that was a real conversation on the ground we watched.
Interesting. And I wonder, you know,
because you told me to, Sergeant. Like, I don't know. Right answer.
Well, and I wonder if the AI, you know, ads they're running have had an impact. Like, that's what I'm wondering if, you know, if people are going, well, I saw a video of him holding hands with AOC and I'm not, you know, down with her. Have you heard anything?
What it was presenting looked like a lot more than holding hands as they walked into a hotel.
Right. And I wonder how much, that swayed people or if people have legitimate reasons. I mean, I could understand if they're like, hey, look, I just think, you know, I'm against the libertarian thing. I think America should be an empire. Like, I don't know. There are reasons, I guess, that you'd want to support Ed Gelrain. None of them good. But I wonder just what those are and why people would support Ed Gelrain when Thomas Massey has served the district so well for so long. So is the mood buoyant? Is it hopeful? You know, are y'all preparing the victory party or sort of holding off?
We are heading to the watch party. That's always the non-promissory way you say it during election season, right? We're heading to the watch party. We're wearing dresses and we're excited. We hope so. There's been an immense amount of interest. What I can say that I know, this is what I know. We came to the district, me and the creators that came with me, and we have generated 1.4 billion engagements on just
wow.
X alone. 1.4 billion in 6 days. Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at all of the platforms we can track, we're at almost 2 billion. We can't track Snapchat. We can't track everything as it moves across Instagram. It's a little bit harder, but that's what we know. All right. What we have done here is we have successfully managed to hold the line and keep it within 1 point on an election that nobody should have survived. It shouldn't even have been close. The fact that anyone is even questioning if Massey's going to win is a testament to how successful he has been as a legislator and how much hope the American people have in him. He should never have survived to this point. Do you know what the traditional cost of this race is?
Oh, a couple hundred thousand, I would think.
Less than $200,000.
No.
We're at $35 million.
Yeah.
$35 million in a $200,000 race with a candidate that's never had to mount an apparatus, never had to have a ground game because his constituents love him and are so happy with him. He won 78% of the vote last time. He's never had to build this apparatus. And he had to do it against insurmountable odds this time. That is a testament to how much people love Thomas Massey, respect Thomas Massey. And one of the most common comments we've had is we've seen tons of volunteers coming in from all across the political spectrum. My favorite comment I've seen over and over again is, I disagree with Massey 91% of the time, but I would still vote for him to be my president.
Because he's got the character, right? I mean, people recognize that and it shines through that, hey, you might disagree with what he's doing, but you can tell he's doing it for a good reason because he, you know, has morals that he sticks to. And like, maybe that's all you need, you know, at this point to be so much better than everybody else in Washington who seems just amoral, you know, as if it's like a trend.
The bar is in hell, Harrison. It's literally in hell.
I know, and the fact that, you know, Thomas Massey's having to fight so hard to do this, like, I'm of two minds. Obviously, I'm so, like, happy with the overwhelming support. I'm so impressed with what you guys have done, the billions of views. It's like, this really shows that, hey, we might not have tens of millions of dollars to spare, but we can match that with energy, match that with just our, you know, effort, you know, human effort putting into it, which I love. And I, you know, that's obviously a very big white pill. But then I'm like, all right. What if he wasn't Thomas Massey? What if it was some smaller congressman? How are they going to get all these people out to support them? How are they going to fight back against the moneyed interest? Or what happens next time? Are we going to do this every 2 years? I mean, this is an extraordinary event, so extraordinary efforts being put into it. But for AIPAC and these things, for them, it's a matter of writing a check. They can put $10 million here, $10 million there, and it's no problem. We have to actually go and invest in this and book hotel rooms and get involved. It's kind of unsustainable. So how do we take the lesson that we're learning here and sort of future-proof farther races? Do you know what I mean?
So they threw $35 million at this race. That is true. They can't afford to throw $35 million at 100 races.
True.
They can't. With 435 people running just, you know, in the House, they can't afford that. They simply can't. What we have to do is make it so toxic to take their money that politicians willingly give it up.
Yes.
And I think we're starting to do that right now. I think that's exactly where we're headed right now, is that we have to make it so toxic to take the money because, and you know, the boomers are tolerating it. They're almost gone. Frankly, I'm just going to say it. They are the last generation that is ever going to allow to happen what has been allowed to happen in this country, with the amount of capture and the amount of power aggregation, the amount of consolidation, right? We are coming into the Gen Xers that will absolutely not.
Yeah.
And the millennials, They are so far gone and so far removed from anyone that's going to come back in a way for Israel based on the way that they have treated the American public. What's been so shocking about this particular election is that normally they hide their money in secret, right? Like we see them hide their money behind like closed doors. We see them trading it in back rooms. That is not what's happened here. They came out and boldly said, we are buying this election. And we're not buying it for America. We're not buying it for Kentucky. We are buying this election for Israel. That is what they have said very boldly. No qualms about it.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, it has nothing to do with Thomas Massey whatsoever. It might be that he's like the thing that they need to use as the example, but this is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to continue to pursue Epstein. This is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to stand up to them.
Yeah.
This is not about Thomas Massey. This is about the remainder of the politicians that might be thinking that they want to disagree with the agenda that's presented to them. And that is why they're being so bold about it. That is why they're being so aggressive about it. And frankly, I find it hard to stomach. But again, this is the last generation they're going to get away with it with. They know it. Their time is waning and they're grabbing for every bit of power they can while they still have it.
I agree. It's just, it's interesting that they're only doing this to the Republican Party. I mean, it seems clear that they are putting all of their chips in the Republican Party and just trying to turn that into the Israeli Party. I mean, we've talked about this before with all of these leftist, liberal, Democrat. I mean, they still believe all the things they used to believe, but it's just because they support Israel, now they're becoming Republicans. Alan Dershowitz wrote an essay about this in the Politico article talking about the pro-Israel groups playing a huge part in Thomas Massey's race. They say, unlike in recent Democratic primaries where United Democracy Project has used shell PACs to shield its involvement, the powerful pro-Israel group's political arm is investing directly in taking Massey out. So again, it seems interesting to me that when they're trying to support Democrat politicians, they hide their stuff in shell PACs, but then they come out against Massey and they put their name on it. That I think is, it tells you something about the strategy being pursued by the Israeli lobby.
I mean, it requires us to make a big assumption that they want the Republicans to survive as a strong party. This is not, I mean, if we look at where money's been spent and what Charlie Kirk said, very, very, like, very straightforward, is that when you see these particular lobbies, they've been at the forefront of Democratic policymaking for decades. And so this happens to be convenient, right? It happens to be who's in charge right now that they're manipulating. But I wouldn't say that they have any vested interest in any Republican policies actually, like, surviving this. Any America First policies? Absolutely not. Because America First is not their country first. So, no, I can't picture that.
Well, and it's interesting because yesterday on the show, we were looking up, you know, because Trump said something about Thomas Massey being the worst congressman in all of history. And so we were looking up his Liberty score. Of course, he gets a 96%, which is almost as high as you can possibly get. There's about maybe five people ahead of him with perfect 100% scores, and they happen to be amongst those Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been kicked out of the party by Trump, and now Lauren Boebert is being targeted by Trump because she supports Thomas Massey. So is it a coincidence that, like, literally the most liberty-minded, the people who vote along the lines of liberty most in the Republican Party, also happen to be the ones targeted by Trump in the Israeli lobby for ousting? I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
I mean, it's only a coincidence if you can allow yourself the fantasy that America First is anything that the lobby would want.
Yeah.
But America First is not in alignment with the plan that they have for us. Yeah. And so, no, I don't think it's a coincidence. No, I don't think it's surprising. And I'm grateful we have politicians that are putting America First. Massey would not say he's America First. And I've spoken to him about it a dozen times in the past 2 weeks. And he says, I'm American first. Mm. I'm not going to vote for my country before the people of my country. And the people of my country can't bear much more. They can't handle much more. We really can't push much further before there's nothing left for them.
Yeah, I obviously completely agree. We showed a tweet earlier I hadn't actually seen before. Reports of fraud. You say 50 reports of fraud, and I think you were in that video. Can you elucidate that a little bit for us? What are these fraud reports?
Yeah, the voter fraud hotline had received 54 reports of voter fraud or voter mishandling by noon today.
Wow.
Across 27 counties. We don't know the concentration of the counties yet, but they did say it was a marked increase from prior years. So we were going over that on the Shannon Joy podcast today.
Yeah. So, you know, this is concerning me because, again, if you've got sort of borderline legal tactics being taken here with Pete Hegseth, the acting, you know, current Secretary of Defense, going down and campaigning, that's a little bit fuzzy in the, in the legal campaign laws rules. You've got the AI videos that they're making that are clearly made to look real, to trick people. And so you take sort of everything we know about Thomas Massey's opposition and you go, do you really think voter fraud is, you know, a bridge too far for them? They're willing to lie. They're willing to, you know, bend the rules as it befits them. But they would never cheat in an election. They're too honorable for that. I mean, I'm genuinely concerned that no matter what the real results is, you know, these people are clearly willing to play fast and loose with the rules to get victory. What are we doing to not, you know, to prevent that from happening?
I will say that Thomas Massey has allayed a lot of our fears on this particular issue. He feels very strongly that the voting is safe here in Kentucky. And he says that that's because of just one thing. And that is that in Kentucky, which is not the same in every state, every single county, not district, but county, which there's 120 of them, right? Every single county gets to choose their own voter software, machines, and count method. And so it would be so hard to manipulate across counties when they all have to certify their votes at the end into the Secretary of State and then reaffirm them after they post them. He says it would be very, very difficult to manipulate. I'm hopeful that that is true, obviously. I will also say that there have been so many Hail Marys in the last 3 days. I mean, the Hail Mary after Hail Mary, it's just been ridiculous, right? They sent out Pete Hegseth to violate the Hatch Act blatantly, openly, obviously, no qualms about it, right? Well, why not? The DOJ is not going to prosecute him for it. The Inspector General is not going to do anything, right? But that is what happened. And when he arrived here, you would think there would have been a lot of fanfare. Huge turnout for the Department of War if Kentucky's super pro this war in Iran, right? Well, no. They gave him the smallest ballroom in the smallest hotel. It had a grand total of 84 seats. And when he finally took the podium, 13 were still empty. Wow. Not a great turnout.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. No, it's pathetic, which again is shocking to me that Ed Gowran is apparently keeping up in the polls. It's like, who supports this guy? Nobody comes to his events. You know, nobody's knocking on doors with him, but he's equal in support. Like there's a major disconnect happening here. And I actually want to go to a video and get your response to it, because this was, Ed Gowran on Fox News clip 32. He hasn't done a lot of interviews recently, or debates, hasn't done any debates. He's basically a non-existent person. I mean, they might as well be running an AI, you know, animation at this point.
Trump said he only needed a warm body and they would vote how he told them to. Those were his words.
Pretty much. And, he said that exactly. And now I'm saying, like, do they even need the warm body? Why not just give us a cardboard cutout of a person if this is, you know, the level of disrespect you're going to, you know, put to the voters? But let's watch this response on Fox and, get your response on the other side of it. Let's watch.
On the national polls, he probably is more, reflective of public sentiment on the war in Iran than you are. Would you concede that?
Well, I want to go back to the predicate you just said about him being a physical symbol. He is not. Right as this election's coming up, he's spending taxpayer money. I think it's called franking, and I'm just a farm boy from Kentucky and a career military officer. He was sending out those repeated letters about all the things he was doing, dancing on the head of a pin. And oh, by the way, Laura, I'll just share with the listeners here, dairy farmers are legendary with being frugal. I'll watch out for these people's penny and nickels. And oh, by the way, I have a master's of science in financial management with honors. I can count a nickel. So back to where he stands, he has betrayed the people here. On the war in Iran, it is as simple as this. It is pre-World War II, 1939. Had we had a decisive president at that juncture, just think of all the memorials across this nation that wouldn't have names on them. They said exactly what we're going to do. Laura, I want to finish with this. I have challenged mainstream media. The Pulitzer Prize is waiting for you to see where his money's coming from, to include the people that celebrate the killing of my friends and teammates. I'll leave that on the table.
Again, just completely insane, incoherent, really. I mean, he says Thomas Massie is not a fiscal conservative. The man who built by hand a debt tracker that he wears every second he's on Capitol Hill, he's not a fiscal conservative. And how much do you love the, I'm just a country boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and a high level class
that,
secret
Harrison,
classified top secret clearance. It's like, what?
There is something no one is talking about, okay? Everyone knows he left the Republican Party in 2016 when Trump was elected, okay? We all know that. We also know that he went and got a job and conspicuously, as soon as he came back to this race, his LinkedIn profile was updated, because do you know what he was doing?
What?
For that 5 years he left the Republican Party?
What?
He was a DEI coach to corporations to help them understand how to implement gender neutral language, using their pronouns, how to better have a gender fluid conversation style, how to make sure that they change their boards of directors. That's where he's been for the last 5 years. So tell me about your dairy farmer boy from Kentucky. I got nothing for it.
You know, I'm just a good old boy.
He knows where the money is. When the money's good in DEI, he's there. When they're ready to bring him back here, suddenly he's a Republican again and not an independent. I don't want to hear it. Thomas Massie has been the same man for 16 years, standing up for the principles he's promised for, and that's why we're here.
Listen, I'm just a good old boy from Kentucky that's here to shove DEI down your throat as I work towards the transnational globalist anti-human agenda. I mean, it's like a cartoon. It's like hilarious. He literally says, I'm just a boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and high level, you know, top secret clearance. I don't know, but I know how to count a nickel. I mean, it's like, it should be insulting. How are people not insulted by this minstrel show they're putting on with Ed Gowran? It's like the most offensive thing ever. It's like trying to appeal to a black constituency by painting your face black and putting big red lips and going, I don't know nothing, boy. I just want to go up to Washington, D.C. I mean, it's like they're treating you like rubes. Why are you supporting them? It's crazy that this guy has any support whatsoever.
I will tell you, yesterday, we went on a very long drive. Thomas Massie's district is huge. By the standards of districting in the United States, it stretches all the way across Kentucky, hooks around both sides of Louisville, and it goes all the way across the mountains, okay? And we did a 2.5-hour drive up to Vanceburg. And Vanceburg has no cell service. The Starlinks didn't work there. We botched at least 4 or 5 interviews trying to get them done from up there. But when I say that they went to this place, we pulled in not knowing what to expect. And it was the most picturesque scene I've ever seen. It looked like we were in the Swiss Alps. We were at the top of the mountains, gorgeous blue lake, 2 feet from us. And they had hundreds of people lined up all the way as far as the eye could see to take photos with Thomas Massie. Wow. In the middle of nowhere yesterday.
Sounds like heaven.
So I've got to hope that they turned out at the polls today in the same way.
Well, so what's next? Obviously, we're going to be checking in with Kriston T. Harris. He's another creator there in Kentucky helping to monitor things. We got a minute left. What is your pitch to the people of Kentucky or the people of America? How do we get involved? How do we monitor this situation? And what do we need to know?
Kentucky, if you are watching right now, it is not too late for you to get up and go to the polls. The polls are open until 6 p.m. You have to go to your assigned voting location. If you don't know where that is, you go to thomasmassie.com/vote. You can get there as late as like literally 5:59. The law in Kentucky states you must be lined up before 6 p.m. and then the polls have to stay open until the lines are finished. So if you have a line down the block around the corner 2 miles long, the polls have to stay open until every one of you votes, but you must be in that line before 6 p.m. So please get out there. Bring your friends, your roommates, your aunts, your uncles, your grandma that forgot it was today. Get everybody out there and don't let these people trick your state. Don't let them give you a warm body. Don't let them give somebody that's been out lying about his military service, lying about his relationships, and lying about where he's been as he was not a Republican for the last 5 years, coming back now to put on this show for you. Get out there and represent your state. Represent what the people that have been serving your state, what they mean to you and what you mean to them. Please go to the polls.
Absolutely. Powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Tiffany. We'll be monitoring your social media and bringing people updates as they arrive. Thank you so much. Follow Tiffany on X at The Vino Mom. That's T-H-E-V-I-N-O-M-O-M on X. And doing incredible stuff. And we await with bated breath the results of this very important contest. Thank you, Tiffany.
Have a great night, Harrison.
All right. We'll talk soon. Folks, we'll be right back with the second hour of War Room Live. Don't go anywhere, folks. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. We'll be right back. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit. Like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get 3 products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Share the links at AlexJonesLive.com and on Rumble at the AlexJonesShowLive.com. Shilajit gummies.
If you are receiving this transmission,
You are the resistance.
Hey, you and me, we're Congress now, okay? Because something pretty big happened while Congress was away on spring break, and we don't really have time to wait for them to get back just to not care. But I do have a plan, so let me catch you up. On March 31st, Oracle announced this new AI platform for the United States government. And what it does is very simple, but it's also very terrifying, because it takes civilian agency data, and it takes defense agency data, and it mixes it all together. And the idea is that they want to be able to make mission-critical decisions at scale using AI. Enable civilian and defense agencies to unify critical information so they can move faster, reduce information silos, and make informed mission-critical decisions at scale. Now, having civilian and military data under the same company roof is one thing, but having it accessible on the same platform so that AI tools can reach both of them and cross-pollinate, that's not good at all. And we don't really have to guess as to how this would turn out if we did it, okay? Because there's already a country that does this, China, and it's called military-civil fusion. Starting in 2017, China built a system, with the help of Larry Ellison, where hospitals, tech companies, and universities all made their civilian data available to the People's Liberation Army. So all of your military records, your research, your business data, all of that goes to the same military that has their missiles pointed at Taiwan. Because the idea is that you're blurring civilian life and military operations. You don't create a distinguishment between it. The idea is that the government, through the military, has ownership over all of the infrastructure and all of your information. And the United States has spent literally years pointing at that and saying, boop, that's the line that free countries don't cross. We sanctioned Huawei over it. We banned TikTok over it. That was kind of the whole argument. You know how the CCP and TikTok were kind of too intertwined? That was our whole point. We didn't want that happening with us. See, we love our military here in America, okay? But we love our military separate from our civilians. Military stay over there, civilians stay over here. We care about this so much as a country that we put it in our Bill of Rights. It is the Third Amendment. You know how you can't quarter soldiers in a civilian's home? That's where this comes from. Everyone treats it like it's some weird historical footnote, but the principle behind it is dead serious. So when an American company announces a platform that unifies civilian and military data under one government AI system, we should probably talk about that, no? Oracle's already well on its way trying to unify all of this data. Right now we have Medicare and Medicaid data that is moving over to Oracle's platforms as we speak. That is the health records of tens of millions of people around America. Your parents, your grandparents, anybody who is on the federal health care coverage, this is affecting. And at the same time that's happening, Oracle already holds Air Force contracts, intelligence community contracts, and defense agency contracts. And here's the thing, right now there is no law that says those two things have to stay separate. Your healthcare data and Air Force contract data, nothing. No firewall, no rule, nothing in the books that says legally they have to stay separate. The only thing separating your grandmother's healthcare records from defense AI systems like Palantir's is Oracle's own policies. Now, we need a law that requires that separation. We need that written down on paper, but if there's anything that Delta Airlines has taught me about Congress, it's that it's not gonna happen if we ask them nicely. We have to make everybody very, very uncomfortable if we want something like this to happen. And we need something like this to happen because the clock is counting down. We don't have much time. Outside of Delta Airlines, you know who Congress does listen to? The healthcare industry, hospital systems, the people who spend billions of dollars on healthcare technology. Why would hospital executives care, you ask? I'll give you one reason. HIPAA compliance. Because under HIPAA, hospitals are responsible for what their vendors do with patient data. And so it's not that Oracle holding health data is illegal or them holding military contracts is illegal, but no one right now can prove that those two things are separated. And that is a compliance risk. And compliance risks are very expensive. We need to ask a very important question, and we need to make sure that they hear it, because if something goes wrong with our data and it comes out that they knew the question and didn't investigate, well, then they're liable. So the plan is, I need you to be a troll with me, okay? We need to ask Oracle one very simple question, a yes or no question, and we need to force these hospital executives to see them answer this question or not answer it. The question is, is there a firewall separating Oracle Health patient data from your defense and intelligence infrastructure? Yes or no? And we need to hit Oracle Health hard all over their LinkedIn pages, on every single post, on everything that they ever do. We need to be loud about it. It's hospital executives, legal teams, compliance officers, they love themselves some good thought leaders, okay? They are all on LinkedIn all the time. And think about it, if we all copy and paste that same question everywhere, it's perfect, because Oracle is trapped. If they say no to that question, then every hospital boardroom in the country has a problem. If they say, yeah, we have a firewall, then great. Prove it. You have to show the documentation now. You have to show the audit because the boards and the hospitals and the executives, they're all going to be watching. And if they say nothing, well, that's going to make a lot of hospital execs very nervous. In fact, I'm going to kick us off. I'm going to get started on this right now, okay? And don't you dare leave me behind, suckers. All right? Remember, we're Congress now. And do something.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live is on. Second hour has begun. We're going to be joined by Kriston T. Harris in the second half of this hour. We'll also be showing a very funny skit by J.P. Sears coming up. Stay tuned for that. Now, I got so much to talk about. And, you know, I try to cover things sort of in blocks. You know, it's like, okay, we'll talk about the wars going on, and then we'll talk about the crime in America. Doesn't always work. Sometimes I'm jumping around here or there. And sometimes I don't know how to categorize things other than just general destruction, general degradation, ubiquitous and devastating. So like I've got a video of a guy who claims that he's paid in Ontario to fly around in small planes, dropping off boxes of ticks in the wilderness. We may have confirmation of that. I've got video about people who do research into the toxicity of bottled waters being sued by the water companies. I've got videos about how Georgia is basically being turned into a state of data centers, and data centers will be the only thing that exists in Georgia. And it's like all of these things completely disseparate. I mean, what do data centers have to do with bottled water other than it's just the general deliberate poisoning of America happening at an incredibly rapid rate. And this is, just like the war in Iran, totally and completely contrary to everything that Donald Trump said when he was running for office. And even, you know, for the first year that he was in office, they seem to have reversed on absolutely everything and are not only not doing the things that we want and making America healthier and bringing peace in the world, but just deliberately and, you know, very powerfully doing everything that we don't want them to do. And it's just beyond infuriating because it's so clearly calculated to destroy life in this country. And there's no other reason to do any of this stuff. And it's a lot of stuff. I mean, just today, not only do we already have lakes going dry here in Texas, in Nevada, the Hoover Dam isn't even holding back water anymore as they drain our aquifers to the point of non-existence. On top of that, you obviously have the oncoming shortages with what's going on in Iran. On top of that, you've got all the various diseases that they seem desperate to fearmonger about. Ebola today, Hanta virus yesterday, God only knows what's going to be next. All of these things happening all at once while they are giving immunity to the companies doing this, giving greater access to the chemicals that we've been resisting this whole time. Maybe this will be fun to study in 200 years. Maybe it'll be a fun sort of experiment to go in and be like, how did this happen? But here in the moment living in it, it's just infuriating, baffling, and head spinning. Just how rapidly, just how in an inverted way, everything that we elected Trump to fight, he is doubling down and actually spearheading. and it's crazy, and the only thing that explains it is Israel. Why would that be the case? I don't, you know, this might be a little esoteric, like see if you can understand where I'm coming from here. Donald Trump, seemingly, for the first couple of years that he was a public figure, understood everything that Alex Jones, myself, like the things that we believed, globalism is over, nationalism will be our credo. Like, he seemed to get it. Even Maha, you know, embracing Robert F. Kennedy. And, you know, Donald Trump was probably one of the first celebrities in the world to connect autism with vaccines. The phrase, it's probably like the most commonly used refrain. I mean, Donald Trump has changed the way that we talk. His sort of idioms and the way he phrases things have worked their way into the English language. Almost every day I hear somebody saying many such cases, right? That's one of these Trumpisms, many such cases. That was from his tweet about autism. It was healthy kid goes in to get vaccines, comes out autistic, many such cases. So he knows this. So he's aware of this. And then you have the heel turn. Then you have around 2025, things go off the rails. And the man who was the peace candidate, the peace president, no wars, who made his name and built his original political following on the fact that he alone, out of the Republican candidates, he alone stood against the wars in the Middle East and powerfully argued against them and blamed them on George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the liars that got us into them the first time around. For him to completely reverse on that and actually do the thing that every other president refused, going into war with Iran on behalf of Israel. Then you look at that and you say, okay, he's completely flipped. He is acting completely at odds with his promises during the campaign trail. What explains this? And the answer is obviously Israel. So we don't have to speculate about that. We don't have to speculate about what brought about the heel turn on intervention in the Middle East or Jeffrey Epstein. There's only one possibility. There's only one answer, and it's Israel and the Jewish diaspora. That's it. You don't have to wonder. So then you look at everywhere else that he has flipped his positions, where he is going completely against what he promised to do on the campaign trail, and you don't see an obvious reason. It's not as straightforward as Israel wants it, so Trump is doing it. But what else would be the answer? So, like, what we know from the information that we have, from what we can observe and is undeniable, is that when Trump reverses on his position, when we know the cause of that, the cause is Israel. Now, we have other instances where, again, he has reversed his position, but we don't have an obvious reason. I think it's perfectly valid to say, could this not also be as a consequence of Israel? And then you look into what these things are and whether it's data centers or whether it's the poison in our food and water. It's in line with the Israel first fifth column that exists in this country. As the video that we showed at the beginning of this hour showed, you know, Larry Ellison himself actually helped to set up the social credit score in China. He now, of course, runs Oracle, is helping to build all of these data centers, was the key mover and shaker when it came to Operation Stargate, which is the, you know, militarization basically of these data centers. In addition to that, Larry Ellison worked to install Tony Blair and get Tony Blair's son to run the digital ID program in England. So you've got like the same, literally the same people, the same figures, the Larry Ellisons, the Tony Blairs, the Sam Altmans, like all these people using their influence in all these different Western countries to all push towards surveillance, censorship, you know, data centers, as well as people like Lee Zeldin in the EPA doing all the hard work to make sure that the big corporations can poison us with Roundup or put atrazine in our water or, you know, fill our natural world with microplastics. Like, is it that big of a stretch to say, gee, Trump is flipped on the Israeli topics because Israel, he's also flipped on the data center and the Maha topics. Could that not also be motivated by the very same people and perhaps with the very same impetus as him flipping on the war in Iran and all of these things? I don't think that's so far-fetched. And I think once you see this holistically, it actually is not that hard to understand why the war in Iran and the data centers being built are in fact part and parcel of the same ultimate globalist movement to consolidate control worldwide, create a one-world government that's centered in Israel and that is unquestionable and sovereign over the rest of the world, where the rest of us, you know, live on the scraps. And then you add in the immortality tech to this stuff, and it all becomes even more overwhelming and monolithic. Monolithic is the word, is the operative word there. So again, I'm going to try to get to all of these and try to draw the lines between them, but just understand that, like, if you view these conflicts from the point of view of Israel, it all makes a lot more sense. It all makes a lot more sense because then, you know, if you view it as an American, you're trying to find out what the American interests are, how American interests clash with Israeli interests, and how we're on the side of Israel in the Middle East, even though they do some stuff that we don't like. We're more against their opponents. It gets a little complicated. There's some, you know, inconsistent or, you know, just sort of confusing alliances being drawn. But if, however, you view it from Israel, and you understand that to the Israeli perspective and in the Israeli worldview, there's only two sides, Israel and everybody else, then all of this kind of makes more sense. In other words, to the Israelis out there, you heard Benjamin Netanyahu, the Eighth Front War, America's the new Rome, we're going to win this one this time. They view Americans in exactly the same way that they view Palestinians. Now, with Palestinians in Gaza or elsewhere, they can bomb them with impunity. They can send their settlers to harass and murder them. And then they can have the IDF come in and sweep it all up. And, you know, if anybody objects, you can rape them to death. So, you know, they've got that whole place sort of on lock, and they can act with impunity and act out sort of their most egregious, sickening ethnocentric fantasies of murder and terror and revenge for perceived, you know, wrongdoing 1,000 years ago. But they can't really do that in America, right? Obviously, they can't have settlers just move into America and expect Americans to have to comply in the way that the disarmed and disaffected and disenfranchised Palestinians do. So they have to approach us with a different tactic. Now, the goal is the same. The ultimate goal is to have America looking like Gaza currently looks. Only to get there, they've got to severely weaken our defenses first. So what do you think they did in Gaza before launching the full attack, right? You arm the extremists, you cut off the food and water, you weaken the population to the maximum degree, and then you launch the attack. So when you see it from that perspective, and you know that people like Larry Ellison and all these people, and again, I'll point out that they see themselves and operate as a nobility. They operate as an aristocracy. David Ellison is the one who runs CBS News. He's the one that purchased it, right? That's Larry Ellison's son, just like Tony Blair's son is the one who runs Digital ID, just like George Soros's son, Alexander, now runs his operation. They treat these like dynasties. These aren't merit-based. These aren't, you know, organizations that act like any other normal corporation where you've got a board that decides things. No, these are treated as monarchies that are passed down from father to son, and the sons are trained from birth to, you know, achieve this position once they're of age. So you got to understand, they see themselves as an aristocracy. They do not see themselves as American. And they see everybody who's not a, you know, diehard Israeli Zionist as a Palestinian, a terrorist, even if they're just a baby in a crib. So when you look at America through that lens and through those eyes, it's pretty obvious why all of these methods of weakening us are being employed by literally exactly the same people that are doing it overseas to everywhere. That's not Israel. It's, you know, sort of not that complicated, actually, if you really boil it right down. And we'll go to a bunch of videos illustrating this. But I do want to tell you about some sales that we have at thealexjonesstore.com, since we're almost halfway through the show and I haven't even mentioned it once. And that's very stupid, because we've got big goals, big ambitions here at the Alex Jones Network. We have big things in the work and in the works, and, you know, big developments in terms of the studios that we're creating, the people that we're trying to hire, the plans that we have to hit the ground running and, you know, reclaim our position in the American media landscape as not just the best source for news available on the internet and radio and TV, but also as a, you know, core hub of activism around the country, as we're, you know, doing now with the Thomas Massie event. Luckily, we've got a bunch of friends and collaborators who are there as content creators who can feed us information and contact us there. But we want our own reporters on the ground. We want our own cameramen going and capturing the footage on the ground. And to do that, we need your support. We need your help. We've been able to survive. We've been able to manage the bankruptcy without really losing a step. And, you know, I'm very proud of what Alex Jones and the Alex Jones Network have been able to pull off. And that's only because of your support and because of your sharing the links and helping people out. And I still see people on X commenting under my videos. Hey, you guys, somebody commented yesterday, hey, you guys should have another InfoWars site. I miss InfoWars.com where, you know, you guys should have another site. We do. It's AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. That's a new website. But to support us, you got to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And right now, you can get a buy one, get one mega flash BOGO sale. The T3 buy, if you get T3 trifecta iodine tincture, you get a second one absolutely free. If you buy the methylene blue tincture, you get a second one absolutely free. The T3 trifecta iodine tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. Methylene blue tincture supports mental clarity, cognitive function, cellular energy, and mitochondrial performance. There's also, you know, massive discounts on just all of our top selling products, including zeolite tincture, creatine powder, atomic defense, methylene red tincture, MK Ultra, ultimate chill energy. All of those are 35% off. War Cry smelling salts are 40% off right now. And we also have the limited edition new Memorial Day shirt and hat. The shirt says, "We are because they were." And the hat says, "Never forget." It's about honoring the heroes who gave everything so that we can live free and living up to their memory and living up to their sacrifice. Get the new Memorial Day gear at TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com. We need and are ever thankful for your support. We know people who listen to us aren't, for the most part, you know, scam artists living off the sweat of others. We understand that you work hard for your money, and we do not take it for granted, and we appreciate everything that you spend at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and we put it directly back into this operation, and we hope only to be worthy of the trust you place in us. So let's go now to clip number 11. Well, should we start there? Because I did just talk about some of, because again, this is it's an information war, but it's also a chemical war. And the chemical war facilitates the information war. And there's endless studies on this. In fact, there was a very interesting thing today. I'll have to find the article, but it's about basically the reaction that the human body has to like embracing your child and just the chemicals that explode in your brain to reinforce the connection with your child, and how that chemical in your brain that reinforces the love of your child is also the chemical that determines whether you are xenophobic or not. And basically it's like weird, but it's actually like the more connected you are to your kid, the more likely you are to dislike or be suspicious of outsiders. And there's a lot of stuff like this. You know, they wrote the article, you know, a couple years ago. We used to talk about it all the time. It used to be like a standard. We like had it just in the system because we talked about it so much. But the idea that you can shut off parts of the brain that make you more open to accepting migrants and more open to like DEI. And so, I mean, if they could, they would go into your brain and they would shut off the parts of your brain that do a lot of things, because the same parts of your brain that might make you, you know, an ethno-nationalist, might make you xenophobic against outsiders. It also happens to be the same part of the brain and the same function that makes you believe in God, right? There's a very interesting chemical spiritual connection to these things, and we'd be remiss if we didn't notice and then work to combat the attacks against this sort of stuff, which is becoming increasingly difficult to do, especially since the champion that we elected to head up this fight for humanity versus the globalist machine has instead sold us out and working on their behalf. So we have stuff like this. Trump admin authorizes continued use of cancer-causing endocrine disrupting pesticide atrazine. That, of course, is the chemical that makes frogs gay. It's a chemical that has been banned in 60 countries. The Trump U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has finalized a review of atrazine that concludes the potent cancer-causing endocrine disruptor does not pose an extinction risk to any threatened or endangered animals or plants. The court-ordered final review, which came in response of a legal challenge by the Center for Biological Diversity, was released to the center late Friday afternoon. The controversial finding contrasts sharply with a 2021 Environmental Protection Agency determination that the pesticide is likely to harm more than 1,000 protected species. The new finding comes despite widespread atrazine contamination of the nation's waterway caused by tens of millions of pounds of the pesticide being used each year in industrial agricultural operations. So again, I ask, what the hell? I mean, I guess the only thing to say now is what the hell? Why is Donald Trump's EPA basically ignoring the threat of atrazine and allowing it to continue operation? 60 other countries have banned this pesticide. Why in America do we insist on pouring millions of tons of it on the food that we eat and into the waterways where our fish and wildlife swim? Is it perhaps not, despite the endocrine disruption qualities of atrazine, but instead literally because of that? Because sure, they could kill pests in other ways, but what do you do if you want to weaken and feminize the entire population? You do it chemically by poisoning their food. Likewise, EPA wants to repeal limits on forever plastics, forever chemicals in drinking water. Oh, just what we need, just what we voted for. You know, when I was standing in line to vote in November of 2024, I was thinking, gosh, if only we can win this election, then finally we can, you know, get rid of the cap of forever chemicals and finally have our water fully poisoned once and for all. I think this is what we all voted for, isn't it? The EPA on Monday proposed repealing limits on four types of forever chemicals in drinking waters while delaying regulations on two others, drawing swift criticism from both environmental activists and Make America Healthy Again movement that has supported President Donald Trump and doesn't really support him anymore for obvious reasons, because he has so clearly reversed on all of this stuff. So again, back to the beginning of this segment, is it not valid, interpretation of this to say, why has Trump reversed on these policies? Why has he decided to give in to the lobbies that are seemingly desperate above all else to poison the American people? Why, you know, is he battling with Thomas Massie when Thomas Massie single-handedly almost stopped the immunity from data centers from going forward? Why is everything that Trump is engaged in right now seemingly completely focused on the total and like cellular level destruction of the American people? And if you can find a reason other than Israel's plan for global domination, I'd love to hear it. Let's go to clip number 34 now. I won't be able to see this whole thing, but this is a little report about the AI immunity bill that Thomas Massie was able to put a stop to. Let's watch. Oh, we don't have that one here quite yet. All right, we'll go to that one next. Actually, when we get back into the next segment, I'm going to be showing a bit of a longer skit from J.P. Sears, again, about Thomas Massie and Israeli influence. But we can go to clip number 11 here. This is Georgia basically turning into one large data center. Let's watch.
So Georgia's just going to be one big data center. You guys, that is not one data center. That number right there is how many are right here. Also, I just found out that data centers don't even have to legally report how much water they use. Just when you think it can't get any worse, Georgia Power is taking people's property and homes through eminent domain to expand their high voltage power lines to support these data centers. Now, the lovely interns at Science for Georgia have made some interactive maps. The black spots are current data centers. The orange ones are ones that are coming. Look at the numbers just in this area. So these are the current operational estimates for water usage in Georgia. Now, why is this an estimate? Oh yeah, that's right, because they don't legally have to report how much water they're using. However, Senator Durbin out of Illinois has proposed this Water and Energy Transparency Act. The data centers would need to report their energy and water use, and this was just introduced in March. But then I was like, aren't they paying for water by the gallon? They are. And in fact, usually at a much lower rate than you and I. They negotiate rates. Google, for example, paid $6.08 per 1,000 gallons, whereas the locals were paying $10.80 per 1,000 gallons. But just because they're paying for it doesn't mean
that's from TikTok user Peggy Bolton. I don't know. Why is it eminent domain if it's all private industry? That's kind of confusing, isn't it? Because it's not private. It's all government. It's all super.
I am InfoWars creator and founder, and you know, that only came along in 1997. I've been on the air since 1994. But I'm not even the InfoWar. The InfoWar just belongs to everybody, a war on for your mind. So the Alex Jones Network is the next phase in the InfoWar. And I can't do this without you. AlexJonesLive.com is the new news site. with the news feeds, the articles. That's what you send out to your friends, family, neighbors. Here's a forbidden show. Here's where you find it. But in so much of what I'm doing, I'm not trying to get you to think what I think or believe my talking points. I want you to understand my thinking process so you can look into these problems and then make your own decision about what should be done, because that's basically unstoppable. The point is that we are at the end of an era, the end of an old system, a new system's coming in. And the average person doesn't even know that the decisions about the future architecture of human development are being made right now. And the decisions being made, on average, are by globalists that are anti-human and think we're obsolete. And I get when people are brought up with largesse, even poor people on average are richer than somebody 1,000 years ago with medicine and food and the rest of it. There's a sense of security in that and a sense of I don't have to do anything. And so what if the world's going to end? It'll be after I die. That is spiritual death to have that attitude. We're part of a compendium, a story of humanity, and our story's just begun. And if you don't care about humanity, if you don't care about a future, if you don't love our species and really think we've done some amazing things, you're not a fan of humanity, you're not a fan of yourself, you're not alive. When I just plug once an hour, we get enough money to operate and hopefully expand. So I'm asking you to make it up for my failure. Those of you listening, make the personal decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get the very best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's all amazing. But particularly the supplements, these really work. Again, it's a no-brainer. I want to have the most accurate news. It's on tomorrow's news today. So you tune in because this guy tells you the truth. I'm not trying to get globalist money to lie to you. I want to tell you the truth so we all move forward, win, win, win. I feel good about what I'm doing at a spiritual level, and I'm successful. It's really simple. And I never quantified that until about a decade ago, why I do what I do. I just did what I did, and I let her look back at how I did what I did and why I was so successful. But it came from an organic place of truth. So we got a big sale going right now. It just came in. It's ultra-methylene red, a proprietary product. It works great with methylene blue, but by itself is amazing. We now have the capsules that are even stronger than the tincture, just concentrated. It's discounted right now. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clearer, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. That's no crash, no junk, no watered-down formula. Just clean daily support people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. Get up to 50% off. You know, if you're a prescriber, your subscriber, you can lock in at 50% off. Cancel any time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultra-methylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The number one trending topic on Twitter right now is Thomas Massey due to his primary election in Kentucky.
Happening now.
But who do you have as the winner in this hotly contested election? Thomas Massey or Israel? Good evening. As you would expect in a local primary election for a Kentucky congressional seat, $32 million from the Israel lobby and interest is being used to fund Thomas Massey's opponent. They're trying to unseat the congressman with the highest liberty score amongst members of Congress. Because he's bad for America. And specifically, his opponent has had over $15 million spent on his campaign from the Israel lobby, AIPAC. While Massey is coming in an embarrassingly low second place in that set, with just zero Israeli money. But before you get up in arms about a foreign country deciding an election, It's not that. Because what they're doing is spending that money to influence the American voters in Kentucky to vote the way Israel wants them to. Kind of interfering with the normal election process. This just in. Is that election interference? Answer. When any other country besides Israel does it, yes. In this case, it's certainly not. And you're an anti-Semite for even asking the question. Now, with all that Israel money coming into this election, you might be worried about the welfare of Israel. Like, don't they need the money? Will they have enough for themselves? Luckily, they'll be fine, because with the $13 billion a year the U.S. sends to Israel, they're just using the money we give them to influence an important election here in America. So it's just you, the taxpayer, that funds Israel to fund Thomas Massie's Israel First opponent. It's really no skin off Israel's back. Just yours. So anyway, in addition to Massie's opponent, Ed, being supported with all this funding, he's also receiving major funding from Israel citizen Miriam Adelson and additional funding from Israel interest billionaire John Paulson, who appears in Epstein's black book. It's a fun fact. Oh, but don't worry, because you get this. Paulson denies any wrongdoing in his association with Epstein, as have 100% of all people questioned. Hey, no one's voluntarily confessing. Yeah, I guess nobody did anything wrong in this global criminal ring. So here's the question. Who would you like to win this election? The guy that wants Epstein's friends in handcuffs? Or the guy that's funded by Epstein's friends? Now, that is kind of a tough one. But one man who says definitely the guy funded by Epstein's friends is President Trump. He recently had this to say about Thomas Massie. The worst Republican in the history of the party. His name is Thomas Massie, and he is disloyal, ungracious, and a sanctimonious fool. Ooh, we'll take that. And before Massie proved disloyal to Trump's kind of weird demand to keep the Epstein files hidden because, and I quote, "It will hurt my friends," who are also Epstein's friends, Trump had these words of praise to say about Thomas Massie. "Thomas fights hard to protect our liberties. Thomas Massie has my complete and total endorsement." Well, that's different. So why did President Trump change his mind about Thomas Massie? I really don't know.
I don't think anybody knows.
But anyway, as much as it makes sense for Israel to try to determine the results of an election in Kentucky, which is part of America, in case you're wondering, there might be these couple reasons. Here's a picture of 435 members of Congress. The ones in red are funded by the Israel lobby, AIPAC. Now, Israel might like to see a little more red in this picture, so they're getting involved in a grassroots effort in this Kentucky election from 6,000 miles away. And another reason why Israel might have interest in this election, Thomas Massie was one of the few leading the charge to push for the Epstein files to be released, along with MTG, Lauren Boebert, and Nancy Mace, all refusing to back down from Trump's intimidation. And there's some rather strong speculation that in the full, unredacted Epstein files, there might be some unsavory implications of Israel in there. Maybe. And if that were true, which I'm sure it's not, you might see some Israeli interest put major funding to unseat the guy who is still pushing for the full unredacted release of the Epstein files, while funding a guy who will fall in line with the rest of them to keep the files suppressed, you know, so that it's not revealed that Israel is just pretty implicated in the Epstein files. So we don't find that out. By the way, if that was the case, you might also see other billionaires get involved with funding Massie's opponent, who have a special interest also in keeping the real info in the Epstein files hidden for the sake of Israel. Well, such as a guy who's received $230 million from the Israel lobby. Oh, and do you remember the billionaire donor of Massie's opponent I mentioned, who's in Epstein's black book? John Paulson? Yeah, so like you might see him with a vested interest in keeping the real files hidden for the sake of Israel and maybe his own sake, so he does funding for the opponent. So really, is the bizarre takedown attempt of Thomas Massey all in an effort to keep criminal implications of individuals and Israel in the Epstein files hidden? Who knows? But if the actual information in the files was ever allowed to come out, it might really hurt the public's sheep-like obedience with the Zionist agenda being dictated to Americans from Israel. So anyway, probably none of that's the case. So let's hear some good things about Thomas Massey's opponent, Ed Galrain? Is that how you say it? I've never heard of this guy. Ed Galrain? Yeah, let's hear some good things about Ed. So while Ed's refused to show up for even one traditional public debate with Massey, he did do a few softball interviews. And even while playing softball, Ed did some striking out. In this recent interview, Ed thought it'd be a good idea to announce that he wants to institute a military draft in our country, which honestly, I kind of like, and you should too. Conscription can carry some, how do we say, like negative connotations, but on the bright side, that's him advocating for your children to be forced to fight in wars on behalf of his biggest financial supporter, Israeli interests. I mean, that's a good opportunity for children. Now, that's not so bad, because if you think about it, we're not always fighting wars on behalf of Israel. Recent memory, I'm sure there's the Iraq War, where Israel told us they have WMDs, so we had to fight that war. There was the Afghanistan War, and now there's the war with Iran, which we have to fight because Israel has told us for 30 years that they almost have a nuclear weapon. That, we would never fall for that WMD thing again. No, we're not that dumb. This time they said nukes, not WMDs. They called the same thing something different, so I think they're doing something different. Right. So anyway, the point is over the last 26 years, there was a four-year period starting in 2021 where we weren't fighting a war on Israel's behalf. We are again now, but 15% of the time we're not. Yes, we are the other 85% of the time, but just imagine your children having the opportunity to be forced to fight wars for Israel. And Ed Galrain, he supports that vision. You won't get that from Thomas Massey. Not one bit. So anyway, that's the latest on the hotly contested election happening today. You get to choose between the guy that wants to put Epstein's friends in handcuffs or the guy that's funded by Epstein's friends. And, oh, it is a really tough choice. Good night. Yeah, that's a good show. Now, honestly, I sleep really good at night. I... heavily medicated. Yeah, it's a new tie. Yeah, it's great. My handler gave it to me. Well, there's no question. Things are heating up in the world, getting a little stressful.
All right, folks. That is the great J.P. Sears with an extended skit about what's going on in Kentucky and really across the whole country. Very funny stuff. Follow him on YouTube, J.P. Sears. Now, with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Criston T. Harris. You, of course, know him well. He's a regular fill-in host here on the Alex Jones Network. He's in Kentucky now. Welcome to the show, sir.
Harrison Smith, thank you so much for having me join the program today. And it's a very exciting time here in Florence, Kentucky, where we're seeing people from all over the country coming into Kentucky to support Thomas Massey, because this issue has really captivated the hearts of all Americans across the United States. We're seeing people from all over the place come here to support Thomas Massey because they understand the importance of this election and this primary. It's crazy to me that they've spent almost $35 million in trying to dethrone Thomas Massey when they could use that money for swing seats across Congress and flip them to Republicans. Why are they investing all this money right now to get Thomas Massey out? And I'm going to tell you right now, because he's a leader in Congress. There's a lot of people that are unhappy with the current administration that are wearing red shirts. They're just not vocal about it. And so if Thomas Massey wins this, this is going to be a waterfall effect where a lot of people who are unhappy with a lot of the pork bills that are and things in the bills that are being added are going to start to stand up against Donald Trump. I think it's very important that Thomas Massie wins today because of the fact that it will send a message to Washington, D.C. that we cannot be bought, that liberty and freedom reigns. And as you know, his opponent, what is his name? Ed Gelrino, because he's a Republican and only name only there. He really doesn't have any substance. He's just an empty suit. I've been listening to videos. I went to his convention and his meeting yesterday where he had about 50 people who looked like they could be in wheelchairs coming out and supporting him. And not one of them really had a rational argument other than, you know, Ed's going to bring out the coat today. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, that you mentioned that all of this money going towards dividing the Republican Party and, you know, pitting half of us against the other half, all that money could so much more usefully be spent turning districts red. I didn't even think about it. I've been so sort of focused on the absurdity of trying to oust Thomas Massie. I haven't even thought about what else that money could be used for, or what else, you know, if the Republican Party actually cared about America, what they'd be using that for. You're there on the ground in Kentucky. I mean, what is the atmosphere like? What is the vibe like? Obviously, you got some old people, you know, shuffling their way out to vote for Ed Gelrino, but apparently he's, you know, keeping up with Massie in the polls. I mean, are you seeing evidence of that? Everything I'm seeing, it's giant crowds for Massie, nobody for Ed Gelrino, but apparently they're equal in votes. Like, how does this work? What are you seeing that explains this, if anything?
Well, what I'm really seeing is that they're having almost record turnout for a primary, which I think is interesting, with a lot of it leaning towards Thomas Massie. The question that the locals have to answer today is, do they want a candidate that is going to be loyal to Donald Trump or a candidate that is loyal to the Constitution? And as you can remember, you know, Thomas Massie is MAHA. He's all about ending geoengineering. He's all about getting rid of genetically engineered organisms out of the food. He's all about health. He's all about things like reducing the meat packaging products here from three major companies and allowing smaller companies to do that to lower the price of the meat here in Kentucky. And he's doing things on a local scale that are really impacting the community. So we're seeing a very large turnout. The mainstream media is saying that they're seeing a very large turnout and they're hearing a lot of positive things about Thomas Massie, which is unusual to me that the media would even say such a thing, considering the fact that there's so much information out there. Like any post you make that's pro Massie, you have about 80 bots that just start into your or dive into your social media and they're just posting things. I don't even know if they're real people at this point with the AI video. And we have to think, I think a lot of the locals are starting to understand the tactics. If they have to make fake AI videos, right? Is that the candidate you want? The one that has to be deceptive, that has to lie to get elected and throw a whole bunch of BS at you and see what sticks to the wall? No, I think a lot of locals are starting to see through it. So the big concern here is voters over 60, right? Because Thomas Massie struggles with the boomers because they're glued to Fox. They're easily programmed. And it's really sad to see that a lot of people still don't think for themselves. And that's one thing I always talk about when I host your show, is learning to think for yourself. And so I think a lot of people who don't get their news from Fox, they get it from social media, they get it from podcasts like the Rundown Live, which I do, they get it from the Alex Jones Network, they get it from other platforms out there. They're in the know. They're being fed information where they're growing healthy ideas in the garden of their mind. None of this GMO trash news that the Communist News Network, CNN, is spitting out, or MSNBC or Fox is spitting out, where they're even afraid to interview Thomas Massie half the time because they're worried about having their White House press passes rebuked. There's people out there that we know they have White House press passes that aren't covering this because they're worried about that. At the end of the day, what's the point of having a press pass if you can't be honest?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You bring up a great point that people are starting to understand the tactics. It's not enough just to understand, like, you're being told lies, but people actually becoming sophisticated in the way that the media is utilized and the way the lies are spread. I mean, that is so important to understand, because once you understand that, you can be not affected by the propaganda. But, you know, if you're just dealing with it sort of on an, you know, piece by piece basis, you're going to be, you know, completely lost unless you are just doing research around everything you see. You know, you have to understand the tactics being used so you can see the way things are being presented and go, I don't even have to know the details. I can tell I'm being lied to here. I think that's super important. But even, you know, we posted a video earlier today, just like during the show, about Thomas Massie, and I have people commenting on X, Thomas Massie is a Democrat. He's a Democrat. I mean, help me wrap my mind around this one, Kriston. I mean, you know, I can understand you saying, hey, I don't like him. I think Israel, you know, the war in Iran's a good thing, whatever. You can have your reasons. I'll disagree with them. But to say he's a Democrat, now we're out to lunch. Like, how do we even deal with this?
Well, the issue is that all of a sudden you have a candidate that's libertarian that appeals both to conservatives and liberals. And liberals are supporting him because they understand what's really happening here. And unfortunately, you see the pendulum switch left and right all the time. But when it comes to the issue of child trafficking and the Epstein files, you know, I was a key reporter at the Ghislaine Maxwell trial for 5 weeks, and I brought you guys a lot of information. That's an important issue to so many Americans. And I can't believe how many people that support El Gul Rhino there say that, oh, the Epstein files don't matter. I think a large turnout, what we're seeing here, is really going to benefit Thomas Massie, because it's the younger voters that really support Thomas Massie and people under 60. So I think that's really important. But there's a lot of issues here where I think there's understanding from the left that that's what's happening. This guy went out there. He went to bat for the people. This is a David and Goliath story. And what it really means is that Israel can buy America. Everything, you know, when Donald Trump says he's the most transparent president in American history, what he means is that he's showing everyone how corrupt it is. And maybe he's part of the system. What, a 33% approval rate? That's a great job there, Donald Trump. You're fired.
No, right? Seriously. And look, you know, I was thinking about this, and I'm sure there are a lot of, you know, conservatives out there that support Israel. And, you know, you're allowed to support Israel. I got lots of friends that support Israel. But making this about Israel and pointing out Israel's influence in this, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. You can still support Israel. You should still support Thomas Massie. What's, I think, is confusing things is like the extremism that always comes with Israel, where it's like you either support them completely or you want them all to die, and there's no middle ground. There is a middle ground, which is, hey, Israel's fine. You know, I got nothing but love for them. But when it comes to America versus Israel, I got to have somebody who's on America's side because I'm American. It's as simple as that. So can you speak to a little bit just like, even if you support Israel, this is about more than just Israel. It's about sovereignty in America and what benefits Americans first and foremost. Can you elaborate a little, or do you agree with that, or just what's your thought on that perspective?
Well, absolutely. First of all, like, Israel's a very important part of our culture, right? We're a Christian nation. The idea of Christianity stems from Judaism. And I think the real issue here is that any time, like, let's take an example. Mark Levin came out and said that Ron Paul's a cockroach. Imagine if Ron Paul called Mark Levin a cockroach. They would call him anti-Semitic.
Right.
Like, that's the protection they put themselves under. And when there's any kind of real criticism, like, or any difficult conversations to be had, they have this shield that they use, anti-Semitic, always. And the issue is that people see that, and then it starts to have no meaning. Like, they start saying, okay, well, there's a problem here. But the real issue is Americans need to come together. It's not a race. It's not a person. It's an ideology. At the end of the day, when people are pushing for a new world order, it doesn't matter if they're Israeli, if they're Chinese, if they're Russian. At the end of the day, we got to say, this is a sovereign nation. This is our nation. We want other countries out there. We don't see a German AIPAC, or we don't see other nations doing what AIPAC is doing, right? You don't have a French AIPAC, right? They're designated as foreign lobbyists at the end of the day. And here we have a AIPAC that comes in and they lobby on behalf of Israel, and they are tampering with our politics. At the end of the day, we need to ask some questions about that. But I think it's very important that we do support Israel, right? But I don't think we should support them if the cause isn't just. Are you going to support them killing innocent people? Are you going to support them going into Iran just because of a feud and say, and we have to have their back all of a sudden? We have these contracts and these agreements, and that's God's chosen nation, which I agree with. But at the same time, I have to say, wait a second. We got to take care of our people first. We got starving vets. We got problems here at home. We got inflation here. And why do we have inflation? Because Donald Trump didn't listen to Thomas Massie. They shot everything down during COVID. We got all these meat prices. If they listened to Thomas Massie, who warned about all this stuff during COVID, we wouldn't have half the problems here. What Thomas Massie is the gatekeeper preventing Donald Trump from himself, from bad decisions. He's the person that's anti-surveillance. That's why the left and the right love them. He's health. He's pro-healthy food. We all want healthy food for our kids. And he doesn't, he's not anti-Semitic. He isn't anti-Israel. He just wants to spend the money here first. Why are we funding wars that we have nothing, no interest in? We don't get anything out of. What do we get out of funding Israel? Israel. Oh, they'll come back here and buy some bombs and you'll get a little voucher so they can get this little, cool missile that screws are made here. And it'll come back to Lockheed Martin and some of these other companies. But we don't see the benefits as Americans. So why should, that's why it's so important we have a vote in Congress. Again, then we have the problem of dealing with false flag attacks because then they want the justification to go to war. So at the end of the day, we're kind of in a situation where we got to come to a solution. I support Israel. I support Jewish people. I think the ideologies of Zionism are what's contaminating a lot of these people. And they get all lumped in, you know, as a group by extremists on the right and to the left. So if you're on the left and you're mad, upset with Israel, well, you have a right to be. It's okay to be upset with Israel. It's okay to criticize Israel, but it's not okay to hate people.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I would disagree. Like, I don't support Israel. I respect that you do. And I imagine we could have an argument about that. But at the end of the day, the fact that you're sitting here going, hey, but America is first and foremost. It's like, fine. I don't really care what you think about Israel. It's not my country. Support them. Don't support them. It's not my country. But we do have to align that this is our country and it needs to be prioritized. So again, I think you're a great representative for that. And again, the point is that America has certain values that are not shared by Israel as a state or even the people. And right now, as of today, we have two new things. A bipartisan duo unveils sweeping anti-Semitism bill. So a new IHRA anti-Semitism bill, which does conflate Zionism with Judaism in a, you know, very political and deliberate way. And in addition to that, federal task force to combat anti-Semitism announces 15 city national awareness and action tour. So these things are against the First Amendment. These things are, in my opinion, designating Judaism as like a state religion of sorts. And that is anti-First Amendment. It's un-American. And we cannot allow this thing to be passed, these types of things to be passed or, you know, allowed to continue because we're so scared of being called anti-Semitic. This type of stuff is unacceptable from a principled American Bill of Rights position, right?
Well, I agree with you there. So there's a big difference between having questions and criticizing Israel and anti-Semitism. And just because we don't want to fund Israel and we want to take care of our own people first, that isn't hating Israel. That's America first. That's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be taking care of our own people. How the hell are we going to help Israel if we can't take care of ourselves first? That's like asking a homeless person for money. He isn't going to have any money. He can't even take care of himself first. And we're pretty homeless. Last I checked, we're like trillions of dollars in debt,
yep.
You know, and I don't think we're going to get it paid off. And, you know, like people want to hate that I say it's okay to support Israel. To be honest, I have no problem with people supporting Israel as long as they understand we need to take care of them. Let's get involved in all these other wars that are beneficial if we need to. But if we can't take care of ourselves first, we can't even have that conversation. And I'm anti-war, by the way.
Hey,
I want to be
absolutely. And you do incredible work. We're coming to the end of the segment here, so I'm sorry to interrupt. But, hey, you know what would help getting our stuff in order would be having somebody like Thomas Massey in Congress who wears a freaking debt clock on his pin, you know, a pin on his suit every single day. That's actually the type of energy we need. Even if you support Israel, you should recognize that if America goes down, it's taking Israel with it. So it just makes absolute sense, everything that you're saying. Chris Donty here, it's incredible stuff as always. Keep us up to date. Any new breaking news, let us know. 20 seconds, how do people find you?
Yeah, Chris Donty Harris on Twitter. You can find me at The Rundown Live on Rumble on YouTube. And don't forget, this is about somebody who trusts the Constitution versus loyalty to Donald Trump. Support the InfoWar, Alex Jones Network, guys. We'll see you soon.
Amen. Thank you so much. Incredible stuff. Powerful segment. We'll be back on the other side with more. We're going to be joined by Michael Cargill. Talk about crime, gun crime in particular in this country. Chris Donty Harris, fantastic stuff.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, The Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. One of the big stories recently has been the ticks, the seemingly weaponized tick populations in America and Canada. Videos just going absolutely wild over this. People who aren't political at all, aren't looking for a conspiracy, walking around going, what the hell is up with these ticks these days? Not only are they absolutely everywhere, they're like aggressive. They'll like chase you down. It is really insane. You know, we're going to have, and I've been meaning to talk to the producer. So make a note right now, producers. There are people out there that have solutions to these problems. There's somebody that says they've cured Alpha Gal. I want to see if they can get on other people with, you know, ideas of how you can stop ticks. I know Cliff High on X, as well as Mike Adams, Health Ranger. I've been going back and forth talking about using sulfur powder you can get from a tractor supply store and sort of spreading that around, and that will repel ticks. But a lot of essential oils repel ticks as well. And so I've been meaning to talk to the producer about that, getting somebody on who can give our audience tips on how to, you know, effectively combat the effectively combat the tick infestation. But this video went viral. Now, we don't have any confirmation of this, but I think it is interesting that this anonymous post on a website seems to correspond with or collaborate or, you know, basically show to be true what we've all been speculating. A worker for a private charter company in Ontario, Canada, claims they're paid huge money to fly small planes around Ontario and drop boxes of millions of ticks. Let's watch.
So this forum post, and I'm going to put it directly on the screen, and I'm going to read it word for word, it says this, quote, I work for a private charter company in Ontario, Canada. The company handles booking and chartering flights across Ontario mainly. We are paid to spread ticks by air. It happens twice a year, early spring and early fall. This year, we've been hired to do it earlier. The company receives the ticks in boxes. Each box contains millions of ticks. The aircraft used are generally single or dual prop aircraft, single pilot, and one other passenger that handles the dispersal. It pays a lot, and I mean a lot. Generally, the ticks are dispersed in several specific regions in Ontario, and it's always the same regions each and every year, thus far. Last spring, the ticks dispersed were mostly American dog ticks. This year, they are all deer ticks, supposedly specifically bred to withstand cold temperatures, end quote. So that post was from March 16th, 2 weeks before Snopes said that this story originated. All right, and it's pretty interesting. Here we have a whistleblower saying that they are paid to disperse ticks across Canada. Now, this sounds eerily familiar to what we're hearing about these boxes of ticks that are being found. And it begs the question, was this person telling the truth?
All right. So again, we have no confirmation that that post was real, but we know that they are making the argument in scientific circles for why you would do something like this. Peer-reviewed paper in bioethics discusses the, quote, beneficial blood sucking of ticks, how the Lone Star tick is making people allergic to meat is actually a good thing. And they say, quote, if eating meat is morally wrong, then we should actually welcome this tick-borne allergy instead of trying to prevent or cure it. They argue that deliberately spreading AGS, for example, by releasing or genetically modifying ticks, could be a form of moral bioenhancement, a scientific way to help people become better, more ethical, by making it physically hard for them to eat meat. So again, they're making the argument as to why they would do this. In addition, we know absolutely confirmed that Bill Gates and others are flying around in helicopters, dropping millions of mosquitoes out of helicopters. We have it on video. You can see the swarm of mosquitoes dropped by helicopters. Now, in that case, it's because they've been genetically modified and they, you know, are supposed to go into the normal, you know, mosquito population and hurt them. Basically, they genetically modify them so they, the snouts they, I don't know what they could be called in insects, but whatever, the needles they use to poke into your skin to suck your blood, they weaken the material that makes those. And so when they go to poke into your skin, it like bends and it won't actually go in, which is kind of horrifying in and of itself. But they're doing that with genetically modified mosquitoes ostensibly to, you know, combat the mosquito problem. Is that what they're doing with the ticks, or is it something else entirely? Or maybe is this part and parcel with the global attempt to get us to stop eating meat by making us allergic to meat and killing the wild meat so we don't have anything to hunt? Yeah, I think it's a depopulation program. I'm not shocked by this at all. I'm shocked that we're not doing anything to stop it. We'll be right back.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. This stuff works, man. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. AlexJonesLive.com is the website. That's AlexJonesLive.com. Make sure to share that around. Even our fans are still confused by this. If you used to go to Infowars.com, now you go to AlexJonesLive.com. You support us by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com. But everything that you used to go to Infowars for, all the articles, all the same writers, all the videos, the shows, the live streams, all could be found at AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link now, AlexJonesLive.com. Now, if you want to support us in our mission to rebuild what has been stolen from us and to come back bigger and better and stronger than ever, then we need your support at thealexjonesstore.com. And look, the products that we offer are incredible. If people are tuning in, I know we have a lot of new listeners every day. If you're unfamiliar with how this organization operates, we don't really have any sponsors. We don't really have any advertisers. We have thealexjonesstore.com. And if you like what we do here, we ask you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the products that we have on thealexjonesstore.com are just the best products that we can find that we white label, private label, and sell at a discount. So, you know, if you purchase colostrum, just get it from us. It'll be the best quality you can possibly get at the lowest price we can possibly provide it, usually lower than is even responsible because we give these massive discounts because we, you know, want you to try the products because we're confident in them. And we know that if you try them once, you will almost certainly return to try them again because once you experience life on these supplements, life off of these supplements is a gray and miserable experience. And I say that only like joking a little bit. As you know, when we came over to the new studio from the old studio, I left all of my old supplements at the old studio, just left them all behind. And for like a week here, I was just like, why am I so tired? I'm like, is there a gas leak in the studio? I'm tired. I got brain fog. Like, what is happening to me? And I realized it's because I just didn't think about it. At the old studio, I'd be popping Shilajit, I'd be popping Irish Sea Moss, and I just thought this. I'm always energetic and upbeat. That's just how I am. Well, I got some help from the supplements, and if you don't take them, you feel the absence. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com. All of the supplements on the site are the best we could possibly find at the lowest price we can possibly offer. So, like I said, if you know, Methylene Blue is one of these. You can find all different brands of all different strengths and sizes and purities and can be kind of overwhelming. Which one's the best one? Don't worry about it. We did the research. We looked at all of the options. We found the absolute best one, and we made it even better and private labeled it, and of course have ultramethylene red to, you know, go along with it. So that's what we do. So if you want to support us, if you like what we do, all we ask is that you support yourself, and you help yourself by getting one of our products and experiencing the incredible positive results that all of our customers experience with those things. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com. There's a massive flash buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture. Buy one of those, get the second one absolutely free, and that's one you might want to stock up on because it tends to sell out if our old, you know, iodine tincture is anything to go by. As you know, it supports thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. There's really nothing better than iodine. Get it today, T3 Iodine. Buy one, get one at Alex Jones Store, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I believe Michael Cargill, my guest, is ready for us. He, of course, is the owner and operator of Central Texas Gunworks here in Austin, Texas. And Mr. Cargill, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Nice to be in the new studio.
Well, yeah, and you know, one day we'll have it set up where you can actually come and visit us here, as you're you know, a local and often visit us in our studio. And last time you visited us in our studio, you had just been involved in an attempted robbery, and you went and had to stop the guy in a city bus. I mean, it was kind of insane. And then there's this event yesterday the day before, where I got the emergency alert, stay at home. It's a, you know, shelter in place order because we've got teenagers running around randomly shooting into houses and apparently with stolen guns. Tell us, how do these two stories connect? And, what do you know about the gangs running around Austin, shooting random people?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know anything about any gangs, but I tell you, these some rotten individuals here. So the two situations are actually linked, and we didn't know that at the time. So the incident that happened with us in January, young man walks into the gun store, which we have people that are, you know, young people. We teach classes like firearm safety courses for minors, for young people, teenagers. Literally today, I had the Austin Independent School District drop off a busload of kids to get fingerprints done inside the gun store for background checks for things. So we have kids, you know, in the gun store all the time. It's nothing unusual. I've been in business for 15 years. I've been an instructor for over 20 years. So, you know, interacting with kids, teenagers is something that we always do. What's out of the ordinary is, you know, back in January, like I said, last time I was on the show, you know, guy walks in, comes in, and actually, you know, he was there. He said to do fingerprints or whatever, which is nothing out of the ordinary. While he was there, he said, hey, can I look at a firearm? And so, yeah. And so my clerk let him look at the gun. He's looking at the gun. And while he has it in his hand, he runs out the door with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we give chase. One of my guys go out the front door, you know, I jump in the vehicle. One of my guys call 911. I run out the back door. This guy goes to the Capital Metro bus station, you know, just like I explained last time, jumps on that, you know, city bus. I jump in front of the bus. I stop the bus, get the bus driver to open a door. The bus driver opens the door. I jump on the bus, held the bus there, had the driver close the door. We're trying to call, you know, APD, trying to get the police there, you know, and this is, you know, this, we're talking a 15, 20 minute time span here, waiting on law enforcement to arrive, you know, at, you know, we're like not too far away from downtown Austin. So finally, the police get there. But before the police get there, this guy's in back of the bus, you know, lighting up a cigarette or e-cig or something and starts smoking it and pacing back and forth. And I tell this guy, look, dude, if you're contemplating, you know, taking that gun and actually, I don't know if you have ammunition or not, but if you load that magazine and you put that magazine in that gun, you know, we're going to have a problem. We're all going to die on this bus. And so I explained this to Austin Police Department, what happened, you know, with my interaction with this guy and how dangerous these two, because there's two of them, these two individuals were. I said, you know, and they arrested them. They got there, arrested them. They found, you know, got the gun, recovered the gun, everything, and took them to jail. Stealing a firearm in the state of Texas is a felony.
Mm.
Okay. It is a very serious crime. So, but unfortunately, it's theft during the daytime. Since it's theft during the daytime, we cannot use deadly force. We cannot shoot them. If it was theft at night, if they use a little force, hit someone, did something, pepper spray, whatever, we would have been able to use deadly force because then it turns into robbery or aggravated robbery.
Right.
And so, but unfortunately, it was theft. And because it was just theft, you know, I couldn't shoot this guy. I couldn't pull my gun out of my holster, couldn't point it at him or anything like that. Cause I was not justified. I would have been prosecuted by the Travis County District Attorney's Office. They right. couldn't wait to get me locked up and prosecute me. So I can't put myself in that situation. So we held the guy there. The police got there. They arrested both of them, took them to Gardner Betts, which is the juvenile detention center here in Austin, Texas. And unbeknownst to me, they're supposed to notify me this. They're supposed to notify me that they're releasing this guy or they're going to have a hearing, you know, to release him back into the public or release him to his parents or Gardner, whoever, guardian. They didn't do that. So instead, they go ahead and have this hearing. They release this guy after committing felonies, both of them, back into the community to their parents. This guy does not show up for court or a hearing or whatever. So they issue a warrant for his arrest, a felony warrant for his arrest. They didn't tell me that either. They didn't tell me he was back on the street. Didn't tell me they had a felony warrant for this guy's arrest after he had made 4 attempts to steal a gun from us. Wow. And we finally got him when he stole one. We got him captured and everything, you know, made 4 attempts. And this district attorney that we have in this county has done nothing to assist businesses, to assist homeowners, the community in capturing these people, you know, and while prosecuting them. So this guy's back out on the streets. He recruits someone else. You know, he gets some other people and he drives the vehicle. And I didn't know this at the time. I found this out after the fact. He was actually the getaway driver. They pull into like 4 or 5 businesses away from us. But what he did not know is I use a lot of technology around the entire area. I'm friends with a lot of different businesses. So I have technology on different businesses in my area just for this specific situation.
Right.
So he parts, you know, away from the business. He walks into the gun store. And he caught us at a perfect time. You know, I'm actually in the classroom teaching a class. I have a classroom full of students. One of my other employees was doing something. It was that 10-15 minute time span where nothing was actually going on. And so we're actually getting ready to transition into something else. He walks in, asks to look at a firearm. And even when the police officer looked at this guy's photo, the police officer thought he was 20, 21 years of age, a young individual. He didn't think he was actually a teenager right. by looking at the photo that we showed him when he walked into the gun store. So he was, you know, looking at the firearm just like, you know, we normally do. And then boom, he darts out the front door. My employee immediately gave chase, was actually on his tail. The only way this guy got away is because he dove head first into a vehicle that was backed into a parking space where they can actually get out and burn out of the parking lot.
He learned his lesson. He learned his lesson about getaway vehicles. You don't use the city bus. You're going to want to have somebody there. Not to make light of this, but okay. So he jumped in the vehicle and got away. And that was probably one of the stolen vehicles, if I had to guess.
That is correct. And at the time, it was not reported stolen. So we had the complete make and model of the vehicle. I had a crystal clear description of this vehicle that we gave law enforcement. My employee gave chase, jumped into his vehicle, and he's chasing, you know, following this guy and chasing him. And I actually have my employee's location. So my employee didn't have to contact me. He knows I know where he is. So I'm on the phone with 911. I'm telling them, you know, they're at this intersection. They're heading south. They're here. They're now going past this light. They're going past this light. They're going past this intersection. You know, play by play exactly where they are. This is the complete license plate number. This is the exact vehicle, make, model. This is the color of the vehicle. In the back window, there is a UT baseball cap. In the front of the vehicle, the license plate is actually in the front window and not on the front bumper of the vehicle. You know, there's on the hood for the helicopter. There's hail damage on the hood of the vehicle. You know, so I'm giving them crystal clear information. You know, crystal clear description of the individual. And so they order us to break it off. And you know, because we're chasing, we're not following. And they said that we could be charged with a crime of reckless, you know, of something. And so I had to, you know, get my guy to stop. And so, you know, return back to the store. By that time, finally, the Austin Police Department showed up at the business. And then, you know, these guys got away. Now, later on, the next day, this is how they were caught. The community outside of Austin actually uses Flock cameras. And so they picked up the license plate number of another vehicle that they've stolen because they ditched the first vehicle. Now, we've given them the license plate. If they'd use that technology, I know a lot of people are against this, But we're talking about a fleeing felon. We're talking about, you know, the community is at danger right now.
Well, this is
the opportunity.
Yeah.
What this type of technology should be used for.
This is where it should be used. And that's the thing, is we have all this surveillance technology. It's used to give me tickets and tow your car if you're parked too long. But when you actually have a real threat to, you know, the community safety, oh, all of a sudden you can't use it for that. So yeah, I'm against the surveillance too. But if we're going to have it, this is what it needs to be used for. And it could actually, you could make the argument, hey, we're made safer by this stuff. So you're exactly right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. And so we gave them all this information and, you know, they missed the opportunity also to catch these guys. And they could have, these guys should have been in custody by 12 noon. This happened at 11:33 a.m. on a Saturday morning. They could have been captured by 12 noon if they use everything at their fingertips. But the city of Austin, city council, you know, will not allow the Austin Police Department to use this technology that's actually installed around the city. The Travis County DA refuses to prosecute these little young monsters. I'm just floored. I'm so frustrated.
Well, absolutely. And it's amazing hearing you say this, because yesterday when we were covering the story, we had all these assumptions, but you're now confirming all of them, because we can look at just the way Austin conducts itself and go, hey, you know, these kids wouldn't be out if we had actual law enforcement. We've had a DA that actually punished people, but we didn't know the actual details. That was just sort of, you know, the atmosphere of Austin crime right now is just, yeah, this stuff has been happening at an increasing rate. But now you're saying like absolutely these guys have been arrested, should have been charged with felonies, because the DA dropped it is why this event happened. And then yesterday I was also talking about, yeah, go ahead.
We caught them, Harrison.
Right.
I handed this over to the district attorney on a civil platter that first time in January. I said, here's the crystal clear video. Here's the audio from the business, outside the business, you know, the back of the business. Here's everything. Here's them taking the firearm, grabbing it. You know, this is everything that you need. Here's the make, model, serial number of the gun. You know, they put their hands on it. They were in possession of it. The police recovered it from them on the city bus. You know, here it is on a silver platter. And then he let them walk out of custody and let them go into the hands of their parents back home, and with no responsibility, no accountability whatsoever.
No, it's absolutely insane. And it is a regular thing. So, you know, obviously when we are assuming this, it's because of the basis of pattern recognition that we have. But now you know, we have it confirmed by you that absolutely these guys should have been held to account for the first crimes they committed, and they wouldn't have been around to shoot random people, including four who were injured and had to go to the hospital because of it.
And like you said, they graduated. So they got
exactly.
Smart. They said, hey, this time we're not going to use the city bus. This time, you know, they learned from, you know, their first four attempts, you know, and then the one successful one that we caught them. So they learned from this. And they said, okay, this is what we went wrong last time. This is what we're going to correct this time. We're going to steal a vehicle, steal several cars. You know, we're going to ditch this vehicle. We're going to steal another vehicle. Man, they were on point and caused complete havoc around the entire city. They've graduated to something else. So if they don't prosecute them this time, this group of people, they're going to graduate, and it's going to be worse the next time.
100%. And of course, this is what happens with criminals, and they learn. They're incentivized by certain things. And when they get caught red-handed on the city bus with the gun and nothing happens to them, what lesson do you think they learn? They learn, okay, we get to do this. And hey, if it works out, we get a free gun. If it doesn't, we get let go. There's really no risk, so why not try it over and over until it succeeds? This is from Alex Cohen at Another Cohen on X, and he's a big account, 250,000 followers. So I'm just saying that because it's not a random account. I think this is something you can trust. He says, a couple years back, I woke up to an abandoned Kia still running and parked on our street when we lived in East Austin. Our security camera footage showed what looked like 10 to 12 teens pulling up at 4 a.m. in three stolen cars, dumping everything from the cars into the street, looking into the parked cars, our included, partying a bit, and then driving off. The next morning, I called the cops to get the Kia towed. When the officer showed up, I showed him the video and asked if he had an idea of who'd done it. Without hesitation, he said, yes, it's the same group of teens who keep breaking into and stealing cars. Every time they get arrested, the DA's office drops the charges and lets them go. Austin could solve a big chunk of its crime problem if it got rid of Jose Garza and just prosecuted crime. So, I mean, this is like a plague in Austin right now, and they are not doing anything to solve it. And the other thing is, like, if there was anarchy, this wouldn't be an issue either. These guys would have no longer tried to steal guns after the first time they got caught by you. But it's like the justice system in America is counterproductive. It protects criminals and stops regular citizens from taking the law into their own hands. It's completely inverted and backwards the way things are operating right now.
And what I want the state of Texas to do is I want them to release us, you know, and say, hey, you know, when it comes to theft of a firearm, let us use deadly force. Doesn't matter if it's daytime, nighttime, whatever. You steal a gun. Let us use deadly force so we can put them on that escalator to Jesus and let mm-hmm. him figure it out.
It would certainly be more effective than what we do now. Now, I know we only have a few minutes with you. And I don't know if you've to change topic just a little bit. I think you're the perfect person to ask about what's happened with Chud the Builder. Have you followed that case at all? And as a firearm instructor, you know, what is your interpretation of his self-defense claim and the fact that he brought out a gun and thought it necessary to use it during the fight? I'm springing this on you for our audience. We didn't talk about this before. So I don't know if you followed this or not, but as a firearm instructor, I feel like you would have a valuable insight into this.
Yeah, I looked at it a little bit, and the thing that my question is, he's at some kind of bail or something like that from a previous case. Mm-hmm. So he's out on bond from a previous case. So I'm thinking that as a condition of his bond from that first case, he was probably not supposed to have a firearm, you know, and if that's the case, then that's going to be a problem for his defense. If part of your first, you know, your bond conditions of the first case, you're not supposed to be in possession of any guns at all. That's definitely going to be an issue. Outside of that, you know, yes, you absolutely have a right to defend yourself. You know, this guy clearly went to wherever Chud was, and I'm not a big fan of him at, first of all. Right. Don't like Chud the Big Builder. I think it's racist. It is what it is.
I think you have pretty good reason for suspecting that. Yeah.
Okay. But he has a right to defend himself. He's at the courthouse, whatever, walking around. You have a right to be wherever you want to be. This is America. You have a right to be there as long as it wasn't a condition of his bond that he was not supposed to be there. This guy followed him, tracked him down, and started an engagement with him. And if it turned physical, then he has a right to pull out a gun, defend himself, if he had a right to own that firearm.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, it's better if you don't ever have to use the firearm. And of course, as a person who carries firearm, you know, it for good people, you know, with decent people, it makes you very peaceful because you know how intense things can get so quickly. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us. And it's just tragic what's happened here in Austin. Final thoughts for people who are watching this unfold or people like myself that are like, I guess I got to get out of the city now because things are just unsafe. I mean, what can we do as individuals to protect ourselves from the, you know, whatever crime affects us that our authorities seem utterly incapable or unwilling to deal with?
Yeah, like I told my employees today, you got to keep your head on the swivel. Be aware of what's going on. You've got to profile people when they come in. Unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to do. We're stepping up. We're actually installing some new devices and new technology inside the gun store. We're stepping up to the plate, acknowledging that, you know, something happened and we need to make a change. So I'm going to make that change. I'm not going to tell people what it is. It's a very expensive change that we're going to do and we're going to implement. And so this will help us, you know, in the future of making sure this doesn't ever happen again. Because the last thing I want to happen is for someone to get access to a firearm and do this exact, you know, this exact thing. Like I said, I've been in business for over 15 years. I've been an instructor for over 20 years. I don't want something like this to ever happen again. So I'm definitely going to make some changes in what I do. I thought what we had in place was enough. Obviously, it was not. So we're going to do a little more. And I encourage people to be vigilant. Lock your vehicles. Don't leave your keys in your vehicles. Don't leave your vehicles running. You know, lock your doors. Use your alarm system. Be vigilant when it comes to this because they're monsters. They're monsters out there. And we have a district attorney in these liberal cities that are not prosecuting these monsters at all. And since they're not doing it, it's going to take us to do that. And I'm going to my Texas legislature. I've contacted some elected officials yesterday. I'm going to contact them tomorrow because I want to make sure that for theft of a firearm, I want to be able to use deadly force because I would gladly love to put them on that escalator to Jesus and send it to him and let him sort it all out.
And save lives in the process. I mean, thank God nobody died from these attacks, but four people shot randomly in their home. I mean, yeah, you put that guy down, you in the threat, obviously. My last question before I let you go, Michael D. Cargill on X, at Michael D. Cargill. When are you running for Austin mayor? When are you going to be in charge of the city? I would throw my support behind that so fast. And I think you could really do some good. Are you got any plans to run for office?
No, this city couldn't handle me. They couldn't handle the changes that I would make. would actually empower the police department to do a little more, hire, get more police officers, you know, willing to actually work in this city, give, you know, expand a lot of things. So no, there's definitely there. They don't want me.
Well, I'm putting that bug in your ear. I'm going to make you think about that because this is the problem. It's not that we're incapable of stopping this stuff. It's that our authorities refuse to act. Michael D. Cargill, incredible stuff as always. Central Texas Gun Works. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I am InfoWars creator and founder, and that only came along in 1997. I've been on the air since 1994. But I'm not even the InfoWar. The InfoWar just belongs to everybody. A war on for your mind. So the Alex Jones Network is the next phase in the info war. And I can't do this without you. AlexJonesLive.com is the new news site with the news feeds, the articles. That's what you send out to your friends, family, neighbors. Here's a forbidden show. Here's where you find it. But in so much of what I'm doing, I'm not trying to get you to think what I think or believe my talking points. I want you to understand my thinking process so you can look into these problems and then make your own decision about what should be done, because that's basically unstoppable. The point is that we are at the end of an era. The end of an old system, a new system's coming in. And the average person doesn't even know that the decisions about the future architecture of human development are being made right now. And the decisions being made, on average, are by globalists that are anti-human and think we're obsolete. And I get when people are brought up with largesse, even poor people on average are richer than somebody 1,000 years ago with medicine and food and the rest of it. There's a sense of security in that and a sense of I don't have to do anything. And so what if the world's going to end? It'll be after I die. That is spiritual death to have that attitude. We're part of a compendium, a story of humanity, and our story's just begun. And if you don't care about humanity, if you don't care about a future, if you don't love our species and really think we've done some amazing things, you're not a fan of humanity, you're not a fan of yourself, you're not alive. When I just plug once an hour, we get enough money to operate and hopefully expand. So I'm asking you to make it up for my failure. Those of you listening, make the personal decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And get the very best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's all amazing. But particularly the supplements, these really work. Again, it's a no-brainer. I want to have the most accurate news. It's on tomorrow's news today. So you tune in because this guy tells you the truth. I'm not trying to get globalist money to lie to you. I want to tell you the truth so we all move forward, win, win, win. I feel good about what I'm doing at a spiritual level, and I'm successful. It's really simple. And I never quantified that until about a decade ago, why I do what I do. I just did what I did. And I let her look back at how I did what I did and why I was so successful. But it came from an organic place of truth. So we got a big sale going right now. It just came in. It's Ultra Methylene Red, a proprietary product. It works great with Methylene Blue, but by itself is amazing. We now have the capsules that are even stronger than the tincture, just concentrated. It's discounted right now. Methylene Red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clearer, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. Has no crash, no junk, no watered down formula. Just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. Get up to 50% off. You know, if you're a prescriber, subscriber, you can lock in at 50% off. Cancel any time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our Methylene Red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. The polls in Kentucky are officially closed. Now, if you're in line waiting to vote, stay there, because as long as you're in line when the polls close, they still have to let you vote. Looked like initial reports had Thomas Massie ahead, but now with only 4% of districts reporting, it looks like Ed Galrain is on top, 53.6 to 46.4%. Again, this is only 5,300 votes counted so far, but we'll keep an eye on this as the results start coming in. But it looks like Ed Galrain is off to an early but not substantial lead, and we'll bring you any updates as they arrive. Now, we got a lot of videos to get to here in this final segment that I think are of the utmost importance. And of course, we've talked about all of these things quite a bit. One of the interesting developments over the last couple years is the really shocking rise in transgender shooters. And of course, this, crops up as a new topic every 6 months or so when another trans shooter goes on a killing spree. And it looks like that's happened again in a truly American shooting, I say, in the least complimentary way possible. You've got a shooting at a mosque carried out by people who call themselves Nazis, who apparently have SS, stickers on the gas can they brought with them. One of them's wearing the Black Sun Nazi logo, but they're Hispanic. One of them's a Hispanic dude and the other one is a transgender person. So I think they're confused. I think they're all a bit confused about all of this, but add it to the list. Yet another mass shooting carried out by yet another radical trans psychopath. Utterly adrift in a world of chaos. Let's go to clip number 4 here. Authorities have just reported that the suspects in the shooting at the Islamic Center of San Diego, which left 3 people dead, are a trans couple identified as Kane Clark and Caleb Vasquez. Let's watch.
Hey, Nicole. I was able to speak to the imam who runs the Islamic Center there in San Diego, Imam Taha Hassan, who I managed to get on the phone a few minutes ago. And he was able to give me a little bit more description of the school and told me that the school has about 200 or so students who attend that school. And he described for me what he had heard shortly after the shooting began, which he said happened within the last hour or so. The school has about 200 students. It has about 20 or so teachers. And this, according to him, and again, not yet from law enforcement, but according to him, there are 2 teachers or staff from the school, to be more specific, that have been killed as a result of the shooting. That is separate from the suspects that we're hearing about. This is according.
So the suspects that killed themselves after the shooting have been revealed to be by people who are in their schools and neighbors. Literal blue-haired transgenders. So we can, just add this to the list. And I think what we're seeing here is very similar to what we saw with the Uvalde shooting, if you remember that one, where, again, people wanted to point to this as white supremacy, Nazi activity. And yet at the time, it was like kind of obvious and later was basically confirmed. There are a lot of kids in this country, like young, teenage-age people, who are basically so, disconnected with reality that they really just, love evil. And that's what's motivating them. And so they look around and they go, I'm evil. I want to be evil. I hate all these people. I hate all these normies. I hate all these, all the people around me, all the kids my age. And I just hate everybody. I'm going to be evil. Who's the evilest person in the world? And they land on Adolf Hitler. And so they, wear Nazi apparel or Nazi attire and they, talk about being Nazis. But at the end of the day, if they were in 1600s England, they'd be witches, right? They'd be Satan worshipers. It's just about wanting to sort of cloak themselves in whatever is the most despised by the culture that's around them. Again, I don't say this to defend Nazis, right? I'm not a... have no love for the Nazis, and I think their entire influence on American politics has been nothing but negative, ubiquitously and continuously and constantly and forever. It is this, we're drawn back to a conflict and German nationalist 80 years ago. It's all ridiculous and pervasive. But no, what it says is about just sort of the mindset of these kids and just like what is going on in our culture, that we have no safety net, not in the welfare sense of safety net, but literally in the sense of like, who cares about these kids? Where are their families? Where are their friends? Where are their cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents who love and are concerned about them and can see the signs, you know, where they're drifting towards this? Is everybody just this connected, this disconnected? Is everybody, you know, this atomized, that we just got a bunch of like insane people going around? You know, it's almost like when little kids act out because they don't get attention, and they know the one way to get mom and dad's attention is to break something or, you know, do something bad. And then even if the attention's bad, hey, at least it's attention. That's basically what we're dealing with. Just maximized, just, you know, with murderous intent. The homicidal version of that is basically what we're dealing with here. Desperate for attention, desperate for meaning, desperate for acknowledgement. And finding the only way to actually achieve that is to kill a bunch of people. That's a symptom of a sickness that we haven't even begun to deal with, because it's a consequence, obviously, of the general collapse of our culture overall. All of it, right? All of the structures of our society are being hollowed out and destroyed. You want to turn to church? Well, it doesn't really exist anymore. You can hear a lady in a robe tell you about how great trans people are. It ain't church. It's something else. So, okay, where do you go next, right? Do you go to, you know, your counselor in school? Guess who they've been propagandized by? Guess what school they graduated from, right? You're going to get, you know, what do? Go to a therapist? Like, there's an article today about the politics of therapy, and basically it's like all these therapists being like, wow, for the first time, you know, ever, or, you know, we're seeing increasing people have anxiety and mental illness basically because of the political construct of our country. And like, what do you think those therapists are saying? Do you think they're saying, listen, you feel like you're going crazy, but really you're right. Everything is messed up, and you're right to be angry and annoyed and frustrated and feel like you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, because you shouldn't, because it's unnatural, because you're watching everything you love be destroyed, and all the authorities are sitting there telling you it's a good thing and you're supposed to love it. Like, of course you feel insane. The world is insane and trying to make you insane. So, you know, do you think that's what they're saying? Or are they almost all trained in the, you know, cultural Marxist schools that are there to say, hey, if somebody has an objection to the way the world works, you medicate them until they accept it? It's not that the world is messed up and nonsensical and out of whack with the human condition and that you are appropriately responding to that. No, it's that the world changing completely, you know, without your input or approval, is just something you have to deal with. And it's up to you to chemically alter your brain state so that you're now okay with it. I mean, it's beyond destructive. So, you know, when you have these mass shootings, especially ones like this, where the kids are cloaking themselves in Nazi apparel and are writing stuff on their gun to mimic the Christchurch shooter, it's not a consequence of one of these things. It's a consequence of all of these things. It's a consequence of all of our societal systems being torn down and denigrated and destroyed, and all of our support systems being turned against the people they're supposed to support. It's a symptom of a cancer that is killing us and that we refuse to, you know, have diagnosed, because it would show that the trajectory that we're on, the progressivism that is deliberately hollowing out all of our societal tent poles, is negative and should be worked against. And the people promoting it would rather live in their fantasy world, which is making everybody insane. And it literally is making everybody insane. But when it comes to the question of what to do about the crime rate being artificially inflated by judges who refuse to enforce the law, I heard a very good suggestion recently. Clip number 3, this is an American man proposing a solution for judges who continue to release violent criminals who go on to hurt innocent people. I think judges, DAs, prosecutors, anybody involved in any of these instances where you've got a serial criminal, a career criminal being let out 15, 16 times till he finally murders somebody, I think this is a perfectly valid solution to that. Let's watch.
Everyone's tired of all these judges releasing criminals back onto the streets, where they immediately go on to assault and kill and harass new people and commit new crimes. Why don't we do what the ancient Persians used to do with judges, who had failed spectacularly to do their job? What they used to do, if you were a corrupt judge in ancient Persia, is they would skin you alive. You'd be flayed alive, and your skin would be turned into leather. And that leather would be used to upholster the chair that the next judge had to sit on. Usually it would be that man's son. And usually that successor would do a much better job, because he had to sit on a chair made out of his own father, who did that job before him. So it was a, if you're a bartender and you overserve someone at the bar, and that person gets into a car wreck and it has a DUI and they kill somebody as a result, you can get in trouble. You can go to jail if you're the bartender who served them those drinks. If you're a judge who lets a criminal on the street and he goes out and he assaults and kills somebody, why don't we hold them to the same standard? Plus, think about how cool courtrooms would be if they had a human chair that the judge had to sit on. And like, you could use the corrupt judge's head to make like a little throw pillow, you know, to support your back.
Hey. Don't knock until you try it, right? I mean, we could try it. It's worth a shot, right? I mean, I think you only have to do it once, really. It's not like we want to do this to everybody, but I think like setting an example, I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. But I mean, theoretically, this should be where we're headed. I mean, I do want my judges in America terrified of the consequences if they let somebody out who's criminal. I want them much, much more concerned with that. Because right now, you understand, they're actually incentivized the other way. If they go, hey, I'm going to throw the book at this guy. I'm going to, you know, treat this guy harshly. I could not do that, but, you know, better safe than sorry. You know, maybe he didn't commit that big of a crime, but I can see from the trajectory of his criminal career that he's going to be killing somebody soon. I'm just going to throw the book at him and put him away. They do come under threat of the NAACP and the Innocence Project. They will be breathing down their neck and threatening to sue them or get them disbarred by claiming that they're biased, because they'll look at, you know, every person that the judge has seen. And if they notice that black people are sentenced more harshly than white people, it doesn't matter if they committed worse crimes. It doesn't matter if that sentence was appropriate based on the person. It doesn't matter if you normalize it by, you know, criminal action, that discrepancy disappears. It doesn't matter. They'll manipulate the numbers to basically demonize the judge who's actually doing their job. So, and again, just like police are thinking about, you know, being charged with murder if they take out a criminal, and you're going to see, you know, people die as a consequence of that. You're going to see situations where police could intervene, but they hesitate 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, just because of all of the, criminalizing of police actions recently. Like we read yesterday, the guy who stopped a mass shooting in progress, the police who shot the gunman who had already wounded 12 and killed several, you know, as part of a Islamic State terror attack here in Austin, they've all been subjected to a grand jury and may spend life in jail for heroically intervening, putting their own lives at risk and stopping a mass shooting in progress. You don't think cops are thinking about that when they're on their beat? You don't think they heard that story and go, all right, well, this is the world we live in now. If I'm going to shoot somebody, I'm going to be really, really sure that it's the right thing to do. So who knows what sort of hesitation that will inspire in them that will, you know, lead to a death here or there. It's just what's going to happen. Just like the criminals respond to incentives. Oh, I get let out for this crime, then I'll commit that crime because there's no consequence. The judges are also sitting there thinking, gee, if I, you know, judge these people harshly, they're black, so I'm going to look racist for that. I better, you know, give them a lenient sentence or whatever it is. We need them instead thinking, if I let this person out and they go on to kill somebody, that person's family is literally going to tear my fingernails out with pliers. And I like my fingernails, so I think I'll put him in jail so I'm not killed as a consequence. I think we need something. We need to do something to stop what's going on because it's outrageous. And I'm frankly shocked that this hasn't happened before. I mean, you'll see every once in a while a video of a father throwing a chair at a judge because the murderer of their child is being let off or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know if I was in that situation, but I just can't help but think that at a certain point, somebody is going to take the law into their own hands. And from that point on, judges are going to be thinking about that in the back of their mind, and they'll probably make good decisions from there on out. So what I would love to see is the judges just do their damn job. I would love to see the law just be enforced by the people that we have elected or appointed to enforce the law. I'd love to see them ruthlessly subject criminals to the law, and then we wouldn't have to worry about any of this. But instead, every single day of my life, I have to wake up to another story of usually another black guy killing another innocent white person in the most horrific way you can possibly imagine, only to learn that they'd been arrested 30 to 40 times before this and let out every single time. This cannot go on like this much longer. Something has to change. So I guess the ball's in their court. I guess it's up to them. They can actually start punishing criminals, or they can find out what happens next. Your play, right? This was the one from this morning. You want to see the one from today? Body of missing 23-year-old Alabama woman Karen Deanne Hollis has been found by family and friends as man 44 charged with corpse abuse. Karen Deanne Hollis, 23, vanished from the Georgetown apartments in Northport, Alabama on the 8th of May after texting her boyfriend Zachary Slaughter that she would be going to the store for a Reese's peanut butter cup. Her friends and family launched a search in Greene County based on information from an electronic device and discovered on her body Saturday. Randall Lindell DeJourney, 44, has been charged with abuse of a corpse and booked into Tuscaloosa County Jail on a $15,000 bond. $15,000 bond. Get attacked by a black guy, defend yourself, shoot him, don't kill him, but injure him and yourself in a shootout. $1.25 million bond. Kidnap, murder, rape the corpse of a woman, $15,000 bond. You don't see something wrong with this? You think we have to live in a country, we have to exist in a world where our daughters, our girlfriends, our wives and mothers will go to a store for a piece of candy and just never come home? Hollis had a medical condition that impaired her judgment. Her sister Brandy said the family is devastated and struggling to eat or sleep. We'll see what comes out tomorrow. I don't know. I haven't checked X in a while. Maybe there's like 10 more stories just like this, exactly like this, over and over and over again. And we don't have to put up with it. We have to acknowledge it and recognize it. Again, folks, the mainstream media, yes, they can fabricate non-existent trends. They can take a single instant and extrapolate it to look as if it's reflective or representative of a wider societal trend. And they can get the entire country to back the most absurd and asinine policies the world has ever seen, like defund the police on the basis of one black dude overdosing on fentanyl. Suddenly that becomes that through the wizardry of lies, right? The magic of deception, that becomes black people are being murdered systematically by cops, white cops who are hunting them, and therefore we have to defund police to deal with it. Totally absurd. Meanwhile, every single day, there's another example of another, it's almost all good-looking white people in their early 20s. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it has anything to do with the seething jealousy that's constantly promoted to all minorities in America being told, you know, your life is crap because white people, you would be living in paradise if it weren't for these damn white people. You're in jail because white people put you there. It's like endless seething hatred, and it manifests in these heinous and outrageous crimes that for the most part are going literally unpunished. The guy that slit Irina Zaruska's throat, do we need to watch that again? You know, maybe we get like, you know, hardened to this stuff. Maybe you see enough pictures of Irina Zaruska, you forgot what it looks like when she bursts into tears, having realized that the blood spurting from her neck was enough to kill her. Maybe we need to look again and see the moment that a girl sitting quietly on a train suddenly realizes that she's been murdered and that nobody around her is even moving to help. And the guy brags, got that white girl on camera. You can hear the audio of him saying it seconds after stabbing her. And he has now been declared mentally incompetent to stand trial. So, again, in a normal country, that would mean that he just is either put down like a dog like a rabid dog that can't be rehabilitated. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that. Or, you know, put in an institution and kept in a comatose state for the rest of his natural life. But instead, he'll go to a hospital. He'll be treated nicely. It's insane. It's incomprehensible and it's unsustainable and we don't have to stand for it. And it can't go on that much longer. So let's solve the problem proactively and not react. But you have to be the one to recognize the pattern. The media is not going to tell you that this is happening. The media is not going to say to you, there's a big problem with insane black criminals being let out by dumbass liberal judges to stab white people in an act of racial hatred. They're never going to report on that. It's never going to be presented to you as a trend, even when if it happens every hour of the day, which is not an exaggeration. We've done the calculations before. There's a meme that, it's not even a meme, just a macro image, a data set that people post around because it compares the rate of interracial rape between black men and white women to white men and black women. Now, white men have never apparently ever raped black women, and it's always zero. The number is zero, and it has been for like decades. Maybe statistically it's non-existent, it doesn't happen. Meanwhile, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the number the other way around is something like 38,000. That sounds insane. That sounds like too much, but it's high up there. How many is it? Maybe the crew can find it. How many interracial rapes committed by black men against white women happen in a single year? Because we've done the calculation before, and it's something like one every hour on average. Okay. So if those were reported on, it would be like a crisis of all crises, but it's not reported on. Or if it is reported on, it's reported on as a single instance, totally disconnected and unrelated to all of the other instances of exactly the same thing happening. So I'm not even like exaggerating when I say, like, if we had a bell that went off every time something like this happened, we would go deaf. It would deafen us because it would be ringing constantly. I wouldn't be able to do a show because of the constant ringing of the bell. And yet it's not presented as a pattern, so nobody realizes it's happening. You can't recognize this. You can't see this for yourself. I mean, my God. I could go on and on about this. And it's gotten to such a crazy point. Shiloh Hendricks update. The defense motion to dismiss was filed and then rejected. Basically, Shiloh Hendricks, who is the mother who said the N-word to somebody who challenged her to say it because she was being abused and harassed by non-white people and threatened by like immigrants. And we spent a long time talking about this at the time, and it was a big deal. And since then, she has been arrested and charged with a crime. She gets something stolen from her. She gets some random foreign dude shoving a camera in her face and threatening her. But she used the no-no word, so they're trying to send her to jail for life. So this is the thing about, like, Chud the Builder. You don't like what he does? Fine. Do you not understand where things are going in this country? Do you not understand that they are literally, in a de facto way, criminalizing certain speech and legalizing violent attack against a certain race, white people alone? That if you can claim that you heard the person say the N-word, you can murder people and not be charged or not be convicted of it. And that's the direction our country's going. And I'm in favor of whatever it takes to change this track and get on a different track and be in a world that is peaceful and just and not being ripped apart at the seams by the systematic destruction of white people. It's very sad. It's very sad what's happening to us. We'll continue to talk about it and fight back against it with everything we've got and hope upon hope that the American people can wake up and recognize for themselves the threat that they're under and work proactively to combat it, or else things are going to get real bad real fast. That's it from us at the War Room. God bless Thomas Massie, and we'll see you tomorrow.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster.
Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Instruction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.